Right, this is going to be another episode of Snake and Banter here with me and Maui and our guest for this one. You thought he was in Valorant or just dead, MIA. I don't know, maybe you don't follow esports. Maybe that. Whatever happened to that guy who used to tell Stanislaw, pick Nuke again. He's back. Chet Singh is back. Formerly, I'm a pet. By the way, what actually is your current status? Like at the moment, in theory, could you be coaching in Valorant again? You said some sort of post, like I seem to remember on Twitter. Didn't you do a tweet that was sort of implying you want to coach in CS again or something, right?
I mean, I'm leaning towards like potentially doing CS, but I'm still in Valorant. I'm kind of just weighing out the options
Okay.
and seeing what works best for me. But I kind of do miss CS a lot. Like, I look back at my old games. I've been watching a lot of the current tournaments, like Blast Fall Finals, IAM Rio, etc. And I miss the like it's not simplicity, but I miss like just the outplaying potential in this game. It just feels more satisfying.
By the way, a little detail just for people who haven't followed Valorant, and maybe you played the game, but you don't know how the pro side worked. If you don't know, coaches are actually insanely important in Valorant, but for a really mental reason, which is there aren't replays slash demos in Valorant. So as a result, like Chet, this is not a joke, part of his job every day was to get the VOD, and even worse, because they have on their, remember, they have like all abilities and ults as well as the utility. He would be looking at that minimap, no joke. My joke is I always used to say like the fucking Zapruder film, like slow frame by frame, watching that little mini map, trying to figure out what strategy. Because on like a demo, you can't just fly and go, all right, I'm on this guy, I'm on this guy, I'm over here, I'm watching the third camera. That's the world he lived in. So I could see why, you know what, it could get tiresome. It could get a
Yeah,
bit tiring over that game, mate.
no replay is
It's
crazy
pretty
for a
wild,
game.
isn't
This
it? I
is an
know.
esports game.
Yeah, it is. It's wild.
If people also don't remember, I mean, when Chet was working with like NRG and EG and 100 Thieves, it was pretty known in the space that he was a mega demo grinder. Would just like even I think there was even a period where he tweeted about during the player break running out of demos to watch. And the thing is, there's
Oh
so
yeah.
much to gain from all of these. So as someone that just pores over the footage, I don't know how you were able to stand it. Like not having replays is just such a ridiculous lack of function for that game for me.
Also, he was one of the people. There's a million people on this list, to be fair, mate. I hope you know that. He was one of the people where when he was with, I think like, and I think it was Millers, when he was with Optic, when he was with that Optic like European lineup, they played against Young Ziwu, and he was like, "You've got to join our team." But everyone knows back then he was like, "I won't join till school's finished." And then he obviously went to Vitality, didn't he? Right. But the joke is, there's a world where Chet just got fucking Prodigy Ziwu right out the gate.
Dude, that would have been so nice. Like, I was trying my best. You have no idea. But just like any amount of money, he just wouldn't care about it, which I respect.
Yeah,
He
but
knew what
then
he
the
wanted.
part that sucked then was then you were in an RG and EG that was like top four all the times. So then he was just banging your fucking domes off on LAN all the time. You're like, well, that's brilliant
Yeah,
then.
that was cool.
Cool.
At least the games where we didn't play and
Yeah,
we made it further.
that's
So
true. That
that
is true. Okay.
was nice.
Right, let's get into it. So, Chet, what is your good point for this episode?
What did I message you? I need to like pull up my messages
It
real
was
quick.
about Furia, spoiler.
Oh yeah, I mean my good point was I feel like Furia is performing really well
By
in
the way,
IAM
we're
Rio
recording this
right now.
after they've just beaten Na'Vi 2-0 in the group winners match, so they're going to be top four no matter what. So yes, okay, go on, give us some thoughts on what's impressing you.
Let me check out the maps they're playing because I was watching their games on my stream and I think they're on Dust 2, their opener game, and I was really impressed with their like cat splits and stuff like that. I feel like they literally just
Yep, over
when they're out,
phase.
yeah,
Yep.
they played phase, and when I was watching their A splits, well, I feel like in Dust 2 right now it's really hard to mid B, and I think they understand that pretty well. That the people like pop the nade in the smoke and then you get exposed and they have all the info if you don't commit and stuff like that. I feel like they have a good understanding that A is really important on T side to hit. Even Fallen, he had a really slow start on their T side, and when he swapped to CT side, he actually popped off a lot with his AWP. I feel like he was just getting better and better as the rounds progressed, which is a good sign. Skulls is also playing pretty clutch as well, I think, in the series. So when you have players popping off like that, it just shows a good sign for the tournament for them, and they've continuously shown that they've perform keep performing well. I don't think they've dropped exactly I think one map, and again, I think it was guys from Outsports, and then they 2-0 Na'Vi, which is no easy team to beat. Their map pool seems pretty solid right now, Like Dust2 just seems to be a stable map for them right now, and they should just continually pick it. Their nuke also looks pretty decent. I think they just have a very good T side right now, compared to most teams. And I don't know how you guys feel about other teams right now, but when I watch like team like Complexity, which we'll probably get to later, I feel like they have more discipline where they're not over peaking and they're not losing man advantages. Sometimes I even watch Navi and what's his name? JL. Sometimes he'll just like do some ridiculous peek. Like I think I remember it was in Blast Finals, he just like ran out the window in like a 5v4, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck this guy's doing. Like
I don't think he
like I
does.
know
That's
he's
the
like
secret,
oh, like he's a good player. I
mate.
see like
Yeah, of course.
these players these days, like even Donk, they'll do some crazy like peeks or like where they run through a smoke, and there's a huge disadvantage when you do that. So I just those things I don't see Furia doing. I see them like being more locked in and more disciplined. And yeah, their splits are just good right now. Like specifically their cast split on Dust2, just super good. And I feel like that's why they're winning a lot of their games.
Yeah, I mean, from watching Furia, I feel like it's been a work in progress. The way that they've been playing ever since, oh God, actually I should look this one up, but while I do, I mean, I think the main thing is that when I watch them on Nuke today versus Na'Vi, even though they would sometimes lose some of the rounds where they put themselves in interesting positions, it's such a far cry from what they used to do when Art was calling, where they would just kind of get you with gimmicks, and it was actually almost notorious about Furia's playstyle that they would send it through door all the time, ramp, and then sometimes
Oh,
they'll
the
do an
mini
A
split.
exec. Yeah, they'll do a little bit of that, but like they almost didn't really care that much about outside, with the exception of like sending Art through the mini smoke with Yuri right behind him in that mini split you're talking about. And then it was like they would never really like take They would never take advanced positioning towards like CT spawn, for example. Like they're never actually going to go for really a heaven flank almost
Oh,
ever.
yeah, never have been wrapped, yeah.
But now they actually go for that. Now they've expanded their playbook, and they also it kind of felt like at the beginning, even though Skulls was kind of for me a weak link on Liquid, I felt like as soon as he got into Furia, his stats didn't necessarily reflect this, but I could just tell the way he was playing off of teammates was clearly better. Whereas before, when he was playing in Cadian system, he oftentimes was just kind of dying on lurks a lot of the time. Maybe he'll actually even do some damage, but then die. But he wasn't really maintaining that space. Now I just feel like he understands what his role is a lot better, and that's made me gain some renewed faith in him as a player, because yeah, he was solid on Pain. I'm not gonna, even though I was critical of how he was when he was on Liquid, he wasn't really bad on Pain. I just felt like people overhyped what he was on that team, and so I was trying to bring it back down to earth. And so in general with Fear right now, it's pretty obvious that their T sides are developing. Like the Fallen for Art as the in-game leader move needed to happen a lot earlier. And I want to say, like, the greater narrative side of this is that I do feel like Fallen, when he joined Fury at first, there was this back and forth between him and Art, who's going to be the IGL. But Fallen has shown in the past now, he knows how to get a contract extension, okay? Like, he knows what it takes to just not actually put the burden on yourself. Kind of say, no, I'm not really in game leading right now. He'll do that on teams. He did it on Liquid for a while. He did it on Fury in the beginning. And now it's like, okay, Liquid or Fallen, we actually need you to in game lead. And now that he's actually committed to the role, I actually feel like it's better. So I feel like this should have happened way earlier, but I think Fallen knows that as long as he survives, as he usually will in roster shuffles, he's going to get that contract extension. He's going to be able to extend his lifetime on the roster. And I looked it up. It's Lucid and Innershine. Those are the two guys that are helping Fury right now. I think I heard something about Lucid, who's from America, actually helping a lot with their T sides. So I feel like they're bringing in a lot of different ideas. And I actually like that Fury are incorporating a Russian analyst and an American analyst. You're going to have so many different perspectives on this team now that you're going to try to, like, these guys are definitely sifting through demos, picking and choosing what are the best and most meta ways to play T sides, and they've benefited because of it.
Yeah, I actually think that the funny thing about Fury is it's one of those examples of where you wouldn't think on paper, like, the Skulls move's a massive one. Like, look, it is in the sense that the Kai guy should never have been there. The joke was that was almost like they put him there to, like, punish us. It's the same as where I now feel like G2's just fucking with me and they just put Snacks in there. Just so now I'm like, well, all right, if you're going to do that, then I guess Huxley was better, wasn't he? Fucking hell, all right, you win. Like, it's like they're doing that. So the Kai guy was so irredeemably bad and out of his depth, by the way. He obviously should never have been boosted to the team out there putting shit spots that, like, he just was fading. So Skulls was always going to be better than that. But also, it does just show, by the way, this is why, actually, a lot of us, including people like Twist or whoever else in those interviews, did potentially want Skulls to be in Liquid, because actually he was someone who showed promise before. The problem is he's mega inexperienced. And I'm going to drop a bomb soon about all the Liquid stuff. But basically, inside that team, I'll just say this. People killed his fucking... I'll say people, certain dickheads. Just one or two, actually crushed that guy's confidence completely. And also, it's one of those things where even when you can speak English and you can do a conversation, it isn't as nice to have to calm like that. And also, if you're like the new guy and they're all the massive names that have been the major fight, you get put at the bottom of the totem pole, the pecking order. You just have to take all the shit. And so unfortunately, they did not at all attempt to make the best use out of that guy. And I think he couldn't play a Gideon system at all. He's already been way better in Fury. And now he actually looks like he should have been, like, in a top team. You want him to be, like, ideally your third fragger, which is what we wanted him to be in Liquid. People forget that he was supposed to be like an aggressive player potentially, so he's actually blossomed. Well, the reason why that's so interesting to me is it shows actually what Maui's talking about how the dynamic between Art and Fallen, instead of being like, well, you know, two heads are better than one, it actually fucked the team. It was like they were just dragging them two different directions, and they were even worse, they were taking turns. They were doing it like, right, well, Fallen calls, oh, we had some bad results, oh no, Art's the IGL now, that's the solution, let's right back to Fallen. And so, like, if you actually look now, if people don't know, this will probably shock people, you can go look it up on my YouTube channel. I have a video when Fallen was initially announced joining Furia. I actually thought it would make them a top 10 team. I thought it's actually, you know what, I'm not even a fan of Fallen. I think he's fucking washed as fucking both regards, IGL and AWP. But they only need a little bit of each on their team because they never had any bloody AWPing, because they never tried to use the AWP. And IGL in Art was absolutely fucking desperately bad at the time they recruited Fallen. So I remember thinking, mate, if you could just sort of get out the way and call like a simple game and just let people frag, then they're going to be mega. Kay Serato, by the way, at this tournament, if people don't know, is doing like everything you dream of him doing. Like, obviously, that KD of fucking Kassad Drake can just die in hell. Like, he's actually, no joke, he's playing again like he's like a top fucking five like player in the world. Never even mind rightfully. He's just cracked. Also, Yuri, for whatever reasons, I mean, he's on home soil now, isn't he? There's no reason. You don't have to be on Instagram, mate. Just look over there. So that's working out. He's back on his game. And when you actually look at the team, all of a sudden, they're not actually bad. Like, they have some decent firepower. I've even actually done some bets on him, a one or more already at this tournament. Also, they're getting crazy odds. The one problem they have is this, though, Chet. At the moment, they've sort of gotten teams that, even though, I'll give them credit, you can't fuck around with this. They beat FaZe, Mouse, and Na'Vi. Those aren't jokes. Those are all real teams. Except one, Mouse is having some problems at the moment. FaZe is like not quite at the top. And then, look, Na'Vi's the best. Like, I'll give you that one. The one angle that's helping them is this. This is what you want to watch for in the playoffs. Is at the moment, they have one problem in the veto, which is they ban Ancient, right? They hate it. And so as a result, and they're shit at Vertigo. So what their problem is, only Mouse is the team that could have picked Vertigo against them. No one else does. A loads of teams ban Vertigo. So that's fine for them. They ban the Ancient. Everyone else bans the Vertigo. Cool. We're where we want to be in the map pool. Their problem's going to be if in those semis, they run into a team that can pick a Vertigo. If someone does that, they're going to run into a lot of issues. So at the moment, I agree with you. They're right. If you look at it, Nuke, by the way, being good on Nuke's mega. There's almost no team in the world except actually fucking Bizarre Spirit actually likes that map. Maybe G2 a little bit. A lot of teams that's like in the middle of the map pool, you can get them on that one. If you're good on Dust 2 is a map loads of teams pick, by the way. Some people will even pick that against you and you can just get free chance to win the map. And then if you can play Mirage at all, you basically have to at the point. Think about almost everyone, almost no teams ban Mirage, very, very rare right now. So if you can't play these maps, you're just not going to be in CS. So I think right now they've got a decent chance to be like a dark horse team. This is actually what we all hoped this team would be from the core of the team. It's just that unfortunately, especially during the initial art period, they played so warfully bad that unironically they could come last place at tournaments. It was really fucking insane. Yeah. And it didn't matter, by the way, on those teams, if Case Rattle fragged out. He could even have games where he's fragged and it didn't matter. It did not matter in the game. So I agree. I think they've had a good performance so far. Yes, there's the home soil thing, although I was saying this before we started. I don't really think that makes the Brazilian team play way better, but I think in contrast, it'll look the same. I do think other teams, especially the Europeans, look like they're way worse when they're in Brazil, though. I think that's also, if you think back on the IM Rio Major, that was also a nightmare. There's a reason, like, most of the top teams in the world didn't even make bracket stage. I think people, I mean, You could argue with the Europeans are just too used to staying in Europe. They just stay in Europe like 80% of the year. They're not used to going to South America and having to figure all the shit. And it's one thing to have a crowd that's like, oh, they're cheering for Astralis in the crowd. Now, this one's cheering that you die because you're playing Fury, if you know the difference between those two environments. So it's quite interesting. So I'm certainly interested to see what happened in the playoffs when they have the full fucking factor of the crowd. Obviously, everyone else in theory now. The other thing is, as well, if people don't know, I don't believe in this personally. I think you get resets between maps and series, like emotionally and psychologically. But pro players are incredibly superstitious. They do think, like when Saw was doing that run at Cologne, they do think the team that's on a heater will just continue at that tournament. That's the thing pros believe in. And so, believe it or not, this is not a joke, guys, because they're now in the semis and they just beat Na'Vi. Actually, if they play any team other than, like, maybe like a Vitality, I think would have like a got. I think other teams will actually be a little bit apprehensive going into that match, and they'll actually feel like, fuck, we don't want to get like shown up in front of the crowd. And I think that's real. That's a real factor.
I think they're playing Vitality in the semis, though. I think they're going to have to draw them. Here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, we don't know yet. Vitality have to win their quarterfinal match.
Even though I understand, I'm saying this after also Heroics just beating Vitality. Vitality's the team to take care of that. They're the team to go, you know what? It was a nice tournament. Enjoy. Hope you enjoyed the semi-finals. We're off to the final. You can just go and sit back over there, Fallen. And enjoy. And you know what, Fallen? Here's the thing. Here's a favour to you. You can now play the show match on Sunday. So see you, right? That's what's going to happen there. There's a freebie. Because that's the one team you don't want to play, mate. They can just shoot your head off at any point in time. So, okay. Maui, what is your good point?
Mine is just really general. This is just like an overarching theme that I found from just kind of the last handful of months or so. Is just the... This is a lot of ways to take this one, but I find that there is just such a strong competitiveness right now in the top tier. And it just kind of made me think about Richard's point from a couple of years ago about this might be one of the weaker eras in CS ever. And I'm going to say, like, right now, it's the complete opposite. I feel just all there are some minor flaws with teams that are in the top six, but I would say that going into any given tournament, I could see any team that's in the HLTV top six right now winning. That's what's so impressive right now. Like, sure you could point to little flaws here and there. Again, like, so Na'Vi, for example, no real superstar player. G2, they are led by Snax and Taz. Vitality, whether you want to say Zai was a group stage merchant or some of the other guys fall off in later points of the tournament, that can be brought up. Spirit, maybe over-reliance on Donk. Mouse just and FaZe both just seem to be in their own slumps. But I think that in a way they're not playing that badly, except for G2. Like, G2 kind of ruins this because of how badly they played at this IEM Rio event. But for the most part, it's very, very uncommon. Pretty much not. It's almost just rare at this point to see any of those teams in the top six just play like complete bums. Whereas I feel like there was a bit more variance before, even towards the end of CS:GO, where you would just see kind of teams come out of nowhere and do really well. I feel like the teams that are in the top six right now are all in a very confident position, and this sort of bleeds into the narrative that we've been driving on an individual stance for the entire year, which is that the top three race is still very much on as well. And it's been such a long time since we've seen two, let alone three players actually fighting for the number one player of the year position. So there's so much right now in terms of the major is just going to have to do so much heavy lifting for narratives and wrapping them up nicely by the end of the year, because it still feels wide open. Who's going to be the team of the year? Who's going to be the player of the year? And I feel like it's just been a very long time since I felt like the last 3 months of a year have held this much value.
What do you think, Chet?
What, like the top six? I mean, yeah, I think this top six is definitely pretty strong. I do think, yeah, there's like some minor issues, like G2's map pool kind of looks like it got a little bit weaker this last like past event, even though they won Blast Finals. I think teams are starting to catch on a little bit on their weaknesses, especially like they have like Snax defending B site. I see a lot of teams just like when they're looking for a cheap round, they kind of organize it around that. Like they push and pull the map. They push like the A side and make it weaker for B, like make the split really easy, or they have like a full Molly exec. I see stuff like that. But yeah, I feel like the race for like number one is kind of close. Like Modesty is having really pop off events. Zai was having really insane events. Like Donk has consistently been like an insane rifler for most of the year. So that makes things pretty interesting. Like it does feel pretty close right now between a lot of the teams. If FaZe figures out whatever is going on with them, I'm sure they could be contenders like more so than they are right now. How kind of like they used to be in the beginning of the year. Past the top six, though, I do feel like the rest of the top 10 isn't so great. Like from 7 to 10, where you have like I think Eternal Fire has stepped it up a lot though. With Liquid, Complexity, and like Virtus Pro, I haven't been too impressed. I feel like these teams have kind of shown a lack of discipline in some of their play, and for Complexity specifically, I feel like their map control on most maps has been a little bit poor. But for the other like six teams, yeah, I feel like they have maps where they're all specialists at, and it shows pretty well. Like G2 is Nuke is like pretty strong as well. Spirit is good on like a bunch of maps at this point. Like their Mirage is solid. Vitality has just been owning on consistently like a bunch of maps. Whenever they lose, it's kind of more so on them than just like their T side structure. I feel like structurally, a lot of these teams are very good right now. So I don't see any issues with the top six. I just wonder how the major will wrap it up because, like you said, basically towards the major, we don't really know who's the best yet, but I feel like that'll kind of determine like who's actually the best by that time.
I mean, the reason why, because obviously, you know already, all the Na'Vi fans are just screaming at the TV. So company hard, because they're all just like, what are you talking about? Na'Vi wins all the events. Mixed up. Yeah, but think about this, right? Because Vitality won Cologne. Well, what if Vitality wins the major at the end of the year and they've won the major Cologne and then had a bunch of seconds in the top fours? Because by the way, it's very hard to get a Vitality out of a tournament before the top four. And then in that scenario, a lot of people think the Na'Vi win at the major wasn't very impressive, etc. The rest of the wins were really good, but they don't have that many. They lost all the BO5 finals except the bullshit one against the Eternal Fire. That wouldn't make them look as strong. If Spirit won, suddenly they'd have the major plus Kelavite plus some bet booms plus a fucking blast. See what I mean? Like, actually, it is closer than people realize. Because the problem is right now, we're in the moment where you pretty much could, I mean, until today, you could pretty much put like a bet down. Like, I guarantee that you will see Na'Vi in the final because it was just so hard to beat them. In fact, you could argue best of fives is what it took. You had to get them to the best of five so you could drag them to the deep water, and they couldn't sort of get all those crazy clutch rounds in four out of five games, if you know what I mean. Like, they would just have like one game, and then if one player had a bad game, you could cook them. I think if you look at the top X, I can do basically what Richard was doing in late 2022, where he constructed that take, which some would say is an anti-Huxley take, because at the time Huxley was winning massive events.
Yeah, that's how I
saw
it.
So that is how it began, but it was a legit take too, which is why I backed him up. So similarly, it's because also you're in a cycle where people clearly all want to make roster moves, or there is division in their teams. So I'll run down like the top teams that you have that could potentially be good right now. So Na'Vi's the top team right now. I can tell you, not as a fact, but I am quite sure that they were going to make a move around that player break or after the first major, and they just happened to trip over, win the motherfucking major, and then suddenly get really good at the end of the split. They're like, you know what? Why gamble at this point in time? Why not stick with it? And guess what? The gamble's paid off. But the downside of that is what Maui said. Even when they make all these finals and then win and people on their team get the MVP, you do notice that nobody... I'm waiting for it still. I'm still Maui. Everyone loves stats. And if you look at the stats for Bit are crazy. The stats for fucking Immer, they're impossible. He's probably the best Mirage player in the world, as long as you count Ecos. Then... why has nobody in the entire world ever even made an argument one of these guys joined the top three discussion? No one's ever even said a Na'Vi player is the best player in the world. I'm not aware, I'm no joke, of a single commentator or analyst who ever said that opinion ever. Because here's the thing, everyone's eye test tells you they don't have one of the best players in the world in their team. All of those, like, put it this way, Bit's like the player you'd want as like your third best player. Then you'll fucking cook a team. Then you'll be the best team in the world. If you want to have like Wonderful, you better have Donk. You know what I mean? If you want to have fucking Immer, you better have some fucking Stud Rawper and some fucking God tier fucking aggressive right. You better have like Nerds and someone else. You know what I mean? Like, you better have, none of these players. So as a result, Na'Vi themselves, even when they win and make all the finals, they're not dominating in the same way that like teams with eras do. That's why the whole, are they going to have an era? It's like, it's the other way around. It's just really impressive they can make all these finals and semis and they win some of them. It's the other way around. Then you go down, Vitality, I think, has all the pieces to win everything. But I've heard that's part of why that tension is absolutely real within that team. And it's like everyone could be kicked depending on what day of the week it is. And they'd sort of tear themselves apart. And you've already heard those stories. They potentially were already trying to make moves and those moves didn't happen. happen. In the meantime, they want to clone, so you just got to suck it up and keep playing. That's how it is in modern CS. You don't just get to make a change because you want to. You have to also wait for a timing window, get the buyout. Sometimes the org doesn't approve it. Maybe you want the move. Maybe the other guy does. You've essentially poached him. And then the org goes, oh, we can't work a deal out, or they're asking for too much money because it's 2 months before the major. You have all that shit going on. Then you've got G2, as you've just saw here. Yeah, they can win an event. They can also do fuck all. Just like they did at Cologne, right before that, EWC, they could have won it, and then they fuck all at Cologne. So the problem with that team is, I think we all, this is why I'm so tilted by the Huxley thing. It's like, could I just see the same lineup with Huxley and the Malbs? Please. Please. I'm pretty sure that event, that like already like locks in top three, I'm pretty sure at this point. Probably could win some of these tournaments. But we don't get that. Instead, we get the fucking Snacks show, where, like I said on Twitter, all right, if me and Maui were supposed to apologise because Snacks won Blast, can you and Snacks all apologise to me now, please? Because I doubled down on that take. So you can all now apologise to me for being wrong that he wasn't some god tier leader, because look who the fuck he's losing to. Nobody even good, by the way. Then you've got Mouse, right? Mouse was supposed to be the team out of it cracked. Right, first of all, this is the problem with when people get to the top. First of all, it gets heady. And eventually, like, it's really hard to stay at the top like that. They've lost their fucking heads. Like, two or three of those players play bad in each game at the moment. It's rare that they actually have a game like the call one. They even look fucking vaguely good in. Sometimes they look trash right now. The whole team's confidence is gone. And spoiler, shall I tell you another reason why I think, and this is unfortunately the problem with having experienced players, I think it is absolutely understood. You know, when I run through all these teams I'm listing right now, you know the easiest way to fix all of them? Tear Mouse fucking asunder and put one of the players on each of those teams, and there we go, we've got the best teams in the world. So I think Mouse are fully aware of what I said the whole time, which is, you know what? There is no, well, you're doing well making semis, you've won some small events. And eventually you'll graduate like Astralis and win the way. Eventually you won't. This is your season. At the end of this season, at the end of the major, if you haven't won the major and then gotten Mouse to do some crazy counteroffer, all these players are getting taken everywhere. Shuey might be off and fucking some team. Could it be Liquid if he hadn't made the switch? Maybe you have fucking Yimfats in Vitality. You know what I mean? Everyone's going to be elsewhere. Someone's going to be in FaZe Clan. This team will be top. So this is the window right now. And unfortunately, when you're playing bad and you sort of know, maybe I'm not going to be here later. I think that doesn't help when you're an inexperienced team. When you're veterans, maybe FaZe, maybe Vitality can handle it and still win and clone while that's happening. Most teams can't. Then you go down. VP is an actual super team of Russian players. That is fucking shit. They are garbage. Like, that's how I know Astralis is actually doomed, because VP isn't good, by the way. Spoiler, they are not good. They are actually fucking trash. Then you've got FaZe. They're just a roster move away, but they just won't make the roster move. Maybe the right piece isn't available. Maybe they're who knows? Maybe they're waiting for a ticket to the Infat lottery. Maybe they're waiting for a ticket to the Exertion lottery. Again, you pick one of these players in that team, aren't we all fucking super hyped? I'm like, right, load up fucking FaZe versus Na'Vi now. This will be fire. So to me, you go down the list, like all the top, they're all the big names. Then as he said, if you want like upset potential, you're talking Eternal Fire. They have 2.5 maps they're good on. You got Team Liquid. Their problem is they're doing, actually, funny enough, it's quite this in League of Legends at the moment. They're like, oh, we almost won. It's like, as my friend Moses, a true American patriot, told me, almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. So you have to actually win. Because as I keep saying on Twitter, you can't keep doing this to me, guys. You can't tell me that Team Liquid is fucking sick and about to be really good, and then FaZe is trash and washed, and then FaZe plays Liquid, always beats Liquid, goes further in the tournament than them. That doesn't make sense. Nothing about that makes sense. Every detail doesn't make sense. Against the field, they're worse. Against players, they're worse. What is that? That's cancer. But don't worry, I've got a point about Team Liquid coming later. And then the last thing I will say is, I don't even think Na'Vi is the top cause of their players. I think it's cause they're the team that's just cracked structure the best out of anyone in CS right now. Everyone else just plays like fucking aggro, rushing in like strat style. And then also, they are just, they're the true team. The cohesion of that team is crazy, bro. And this is something I have to say as a Blade quality. You can go right back to the Na'Vi 2021 lineup. I always used to say what's crazy isn't the stats. It isn't that like Simple has 1.4 rating and then Electronic has a 1.2 rating and then Bit has a 1.15 rating and then Perfecto has a 1.1. No, here's what's crazy about that team. If you ever watched them, they were the team where if they go up 5v4, you'll never get a free peek, mate. They'll just all play off each other. They'll all stay on the site. They'll all protocols. They'll save the... That is the shit that you can only get when you have that fucking... When he puts down that, like, fucking CIA dossier, like, there you go, sir. There's all the blueprints and the records. This guy just has his players fucking tuned. That's why, by the way, even if I thought he should have gambled and made a roster move, maybe I'm wrong on this one. If there's one person I'm willing to be wrong to, it's Blade. Because he stuck with it. And I'll tell you what, now having that same lineup together, the cohesion's fucking nuts because he's had all that time with him. He's had, like, almost a year at this point in time. So, no, I agree. I actually think it's super competitive. So what's funny is people are getting the thrill of who can win the events. But the problem is, like, put it this way, except for Vitality, if they'd got their shit together, none of these teams really is going to be like a historically remembered team. You know what I mean? If you go down five years from now, it's like he says, it'll be like the end of 2022, where it was like, oh, there was like a bunch of good teams in the top seven, but it was more like, you know, put them all in a hat, like, oh, Heroic wins this event, cool. Oh, G2, oh, who knew? Like, there's no fucking rhyme or reason. There's not any factor. So, yeah, good one. Now, my point is related to this event. It's right after we've just seen the series, but I'll tell you what, they've been cooking the whole event. I am so actually glad that this Heroic lineup's finally starting to work. Because on paper, if you remember, we had so many takes about this at the beginning of the year. When they had Nykodos, you looked at the lineup and you were like, bro, isn't this actually like a really good lineup, except they haven't got an AWPer? Like, if you just added the AWPer, surely you start doing work. They added the AWPer, but obviously Dexter had not played CS2. And now he's gotten like about, I think I counted, he had like 47 maps at the time. So you have like 49 now. So he's almost cracked like 50 maps on LAN. He's not even a beast anymore yet. He's still getting his way back. He's good. He's not a beast, though. But the whole team now actually works finally. Like, people like Shush and Tessa's even having good performances generally now. Like, actually, things are finally online. And the difference is, like, I was never going to completely write off Kixan and all them. You have to have the players. You have to have the pieces before you can tell how good an IGL is. Like, in the same way as they say, like, wins are not a quarterback fucking stat in American football. It's the same with IGLs. Like, the win isn't the stat. I can tell how good an IGL is by what tactics you did. I can't help you if the players can't win the round after that. If they can't win a 1v2, or fucking they just get shot in the head when they come out of the corner. So I actually think, like, the basics of that team can still be good. Look, at this point, it's probably unreasonable to think they can be a top five team or go as high as maybe their dream was. But they can certainly be like a very solid top 10 team that can be right in that mix of teams we just mentioned. Team Liquid, Eternal, Firecore. They can be the upset merchants. They can be the team that can sneak into a top eight. So I think that also makes just the scene a lot more interesting. Like, I don't want these sorts of guys to... It's so depressing when these teams are down at like Falcons territory, where you're like 16th in the world. And it, like, it's a fluke if you win a map over a good team. Like, that's whack. These pieces also were taken off the board. Remember, when you go and look how shit Astralis is, spoiler, they didn't get the role players. Shush and Tessus are in this team. Arcadian and fucking Stown are going to have to learn that the hard way. Like, role players exist. That's why I love that thing of, like, there are no roles. Yes, do you know one of the most famous players who said that? He's called Snacks. Yeah, I wonder why he doesn't think they're roles. Well, here's the thing, mate. If there aren't roles, why are you dog shit at Counter-Strike? Because there's no roles, remember? So it can't be that you're IGL and playing like an extra. You're not an entry. No, there's no roles, mate. Just play like Modesty. Play like Nico. Go on, do it. No roles. Give me a fucking break.
One of the worst lines of all time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the joke is, man, in a way, I actually agree with him, because obviously roles are just a way of talking about the game. They're just a model. And absolutely, from looking at Snacks, he's no role model.
Damn.
Some Deion Sanders shit. I should start writing these down. They're pretty good. But anyway, what do you guys think of Heroic?
I watched their opening game, and I think the game from today, I believe. And I think... versus G2, they played really well, but the only issues I had with them is I don't know if it was just like the first match of the tournament type thing where like they're just getting into it, but it felt a little bit sloppy.
They started really slow, like, right?
Yeah, it was really, really slow. Like, I thought they were pretty much going to lose at some point, but then they showed like they can mentally come back into it, which is a good sign for a team that's going to be a dark horse. I mean, with Dexter, like, I wasn't super impressed with his op at all, but then he started picking it up like a lot, like towards the end of the game. And their strat, like, this is the team where I was like, okay, when G2 plays Dust2 and the other team targets B a lot, I feel like they understood that. Like, yes, they were push pulling the map really well. Like, they did like a really good cat take all, every round. And then once an enemy team has cat, like, it's pretty much impossible to like have really like nice rotates. Like, you kind of have to gamble a little bit or rely on your retake. And G2 seemed to be okay with retaking B, but also leaving Snacks there on an island sometimes. And I think Heroic just exploited that fully. Like, they just understood that perfectly. They also did really well at stopping all the aggression. Like, no matter what was happening, like, I think Nerds had a decent round.
Sure.
When somewhere around lower, or I can't remember who it was, but they just stopped all the aggression. Like, none of the gimmicks worked. They refragged like pretty much instantly. Like, they had a good structural system, kind of similar to like Na'Vi, I guess, where they're like, there's no like insane superstars, yes, but they're all like kind of well-rounded, and the structure around them lets them play really well. So I don't know who their coach is. I think it's Saw.
Yeah,
he's probably done a lot of work behind them. to make that happen, because I think Dexter's only been on the team for what, like 4 or 5 months?
Yep.
It hasn't been
Just
like
before the
that
play
long.
break. Yep.
Yeah, so like he's just still probably getting used to the team. He's still getting used to CS2, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, they have like a bunch of role players. Like all these players are like, they're, if you put them in like a different team, they'll still probably perform pretty well as long as you give them that exact
Yeah.
same role. Yeah, I mean, they've just been super impressive. I think they beat what was it, Vitality?
Yep.
That's not easy
Yep.
at all. Their map pool looks pretty solid as well. Like
Yep.
they're
Yeah,
like
it's pretty
if you're gonna
legit.
play Mirage, if you play Mirage really well, you're probably just gonna end up doing pretty well throughout tournaments. Like that's like a staple
Yep.
map in a BO3. Dust 2 is also a staple map in a
Yep.
BO3. And then if they're good on the other maps like Ancient or Anubis, they're probably gonna go pretty far. And the other maps where they can exploit a lot of teams at, right now, in my opinion.
The only thing is, though, when you say like that they shouldn't leave snacks on an island, I disagree, but I mean in the sense of like as a cruise ship goes past the desert island, just pop that on and then just fucking keep going.
I mean, when I watched that game, and I think Snax really likes to AWP or whatever. Like when they
Of
double
course,
AWP, he's
why
just sitting there
not? Why
upping.
wouldn't he? You know, why not?
I feel like that's a large investment to make first to give. Like
Bro,
I don't think he should be
I'm
in
not even
anywhere
trolling.
competitive.
There are actually rounds. There are real rounds. There's screenshots of all this. It's all on camera. Caught in
Oh man.
4K. There are real rounds where he has the AK and like fucking like
Oh, I saw
you know,
that.
some of the
Yeah,
player
and he has a
doesn't.
deagle.
I
Yeah,
know, yeah. Like Malbs has a deagle or
yeah.
something. You're like, what are we
That's
doing
been
here?
ever since he joined. That's
I
ever
know,
been
it's
ever
mad,
since
innit?
he's joined. The
But it's
mental
so weird to me
gymnastics, man.
that
it's so weird to me that they would put him in an anchor position if he's not a heavy like anchor. Like,
I know.
wouldn't you put like, let's say you're a really cerebral player. Like, I don't know if Snax is or not because I haven't seen enough like on my eye test yet. But if he's gonna be a really smart player and like know how to use Yuto well, would you rather put him like kind of a more rotator spot
Yeah,
and leave
why
like your
not?
insane player like on an
Yeah.
anchor role? Like, I feel like that makes more sense because, dude, if I was in CS and I'm like a team and I'm gonna play G2, my whole game plan is gonna be centered around that guy. Like, I'm gonna go whatever I can do to like make his site weaker, and then I'm just gonna hit it because it just like he's just not getting the like he's not getting any multi kills. Sometimes he's getting
Sure.
nothing, and it makes like retaking B on Dust 2, like, dude, like Heroic was winning so many rounds even at disadvantages just like going there and winning. I was like, that's like super smart. I feel like most teams would just
Sure.
be blind to that, and then they'll just keep going Cat and going into Monacy, Nico. Like, why would you do that? You know, like
That's why I
they seem
wonder
to not.
though, because obviously it's rumored Nico will lead to Falcons. That seems quite sure. But also the other rumors that Monacy will leave. So if this really is the last season and they know it's already done, that's where it makes me feel like they were like, right, we're bringing in Snacks, like it's a cheap contract. And then they were all like, well, I've got my spot. Dibs, 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 dibs. And he was like, oh, well, B Mirage it is. And they were like, yep, you just go over there.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be fragging, but you just do whatever over at B Mirage. Fuck off. Like,
Yeah,
they're
I
not
feel like
trying
they
to set
want
up.
to max. Yeah, like not to talk too much about G2, but I feel like if they want to maximize their chances, then they probably want to spread the talent across the map, you know? Like, let's
Yeah,
not like
actually, by
keep
the
it
way, I've
all on one
realized we're
side.
talking about G2 later. It's true. We shouldn't.
Yeah,
This is Heroic. This is about
wait a
Heroic.
second.
Maui, what do you think about Heroic, bro?
I'm gonna pump the brakes on them. I feel like the little run that they've had so far at Rio is a bit more. I feel like they're playing off of each other really well, but a lot of it is emphasized and successful because some of their individuals are just playing better than they normally would. Like, this is the best that Dexter has played on Heroic by far since he's joined the team. Like, in these five maps, I mean, above a 1.2 rating, he's yet to even crack 1.2 with any events that they've played so far. So I'm just a little bit tentative on what they're doing right now, because also I've seen Tessus also, he just mows like three people down from Cat on Mirage, also on a defense, and it's just like, I don't really know if that's a setup. I don't know if that's really, I don't think that is a setup. I think that's him just hitting three incredibly strong bursts like in a row. And so I'm not gonna say it's a team thing. Can I be happy that some of the players are playing well? Absolutely. Like, I really like the Heroic lineup. I liked them back when they were playing at the Major, and a lot of us had them in our pick-ems to make it through to the top eight, and then they kind of like dashed our hopes on that because I think they ended up 2-3 or if even that. And then that's when they had to make the Nikodaw switch. And with Nurse, Tessus, and Shush, you would think that's a really strong rifle core, if not even just firepower wise in terms of role. And so I'm a bit concerned when a team makes it through by beating the teams that they did. And I'm not saying that their player that they played Astralis, they played G2,
G2.
and they played Vitality, and the Vitality win is definitely the most impressive because I think Vitality is clearly a top tier team right now. I think they're clearly top two right there with Na'Vi, but I just think that when you end the group stage with the highest player rating with a 1.22 also, then I'm a little concerned that these players are popping off in ways that they don't normally. But I'm not trying to send it yet on Heroic. Like, can they enter the top six as MAUs are falling out of it? Maybe, but I'm not really gonna expect any kind of like consist like I don't think they're I think you framed it well when you said this at the beginning. It's not like I'm expecting them to be a top five team, but I think that the fact that they have been kind of out of the top 10 for way too long, that just feels beneath their players.
Okay, what is the bad point, Chet? Spoiler, it's another NA team, right?
I believe it's about complexity. I
It's
feel
your
like
point,
they're
so I don't know why
switching.
you're saying that, like you're just guessing what it's your own point, so come on, what is it?
I just feel like complexity right now structurally is kind of disappointing for how long they've been a team.
Yep.
I just think, like, I'll give an example. I think they played Inferno versus Liquid, and I feel like they're going to continuously get sunned by Liquid no matter how many times they play
Yep.
because the plays they make are, like, so, like, they make no sense. Like, I'll give, like, a few examples. Like, Alige, he's a great player and a lot of experience, but I don't know if this is, like, a cultural thing or, like, I don't know what's going on in their practices, but, like, he'll peek, like, window room, like, from boiler. And he's just like walking into like Naf's crosshair like a bunch of times, and like Naf's like probably just like laughing like why the fuck is this guy doing this? And I'm just curious why they throw away so many 5v4s. Like if you watch that game, versus Liquid, you'll notice that Complexity probably had like at least like they could have had like a 6-6 half or like a 7-5 like in their favor, or honestly they could have even been like even more in their favor because they probably would eco them a lot too, like put them on eco, and the structure on their T sides make no sense. Like, I feel like Inferno on Inferno is very like the mid control is very
Banana roast.
understood at
All
this
right,
point.
go on, yeah.
Yeah, it's like super understood at this point, like how to take mid on Inferno.
Okay.
But these guys are like dry peeking lane. Like JKS is having a field day at lane. Like they're boosted up top like lane. You know, like these angles are being flashed, and I don't understand how they've gone through that many practices and these many events and are having these issues. Like, I don't know. Where like there's like a lack of discipline, like even on Liquid side, Yekandar, like he like flashed himself banana and they couldn't like capitalize off it. I don't know if you
Sure.
guys saw that clip. He like just
Yeah.
team flashed himself, didn't get the kill. Somehow they still lost the round. Like Complexity after being gifted like a free kill like that. Like I don't know where the discipline is on their team. Like they're also just throwing away rounds. Like they had an advantage like on A site where they're just like pushing lane together. In like a 5v4 or a 4v3, which I understand getting info is good. Now not saying never be aggressive in those situations, but the way they did it was just so sloppy, and it just like they're banana, they have full banana control. Like it just seems like they're just playing to play. Like they don't have like an actual system going on, so it's kind of disappointing because I think at some point they used to be really good. Like I remember their like Anubis was decent, and when they were actually playing well, and like JT was fragging out, but I haven't seen that same team again. I think they actually like degraded their performances throughout the year.
Yeah, I just checked it out for like the Complexity. We've talked about them in so many different ways at so many different times, and like it's like every 2 months we need a Complexity check-in, I feel, because we just keep noticing there'll be one performance per 3 months where we're like, okay, that's a pleasant surprise. I think the last one was probably EPL season 19. Maybe they did something else actually that caught our attention, but then they'll always just dash. They'll throw every single ounce of goodwill that we've given to them and they've earned in those single tournament runs, and they just kind of piss it away because
They also did it at
they're
the
like,
last Pro League. It's just the Pro Leagues mainly, mate. It's where there's less pressure. They just have all the upsets, yeah.
Yeah, I
Before
guess that's
playoffs.
it. So both
Yeah.
pro leagues this year were where they
Yep.
did it, and at the beginning of CS2, they were impressive. At the beginning of CS2, the IEM Sydney Grand Final that they reached, and the Blast Fall Finals where they came top four. There are some performances that they should be proud of, but then, like you're saying, the 5v4s just for the year of top 20 teams, they're the fourth worst in 5v4s, and the teams that are around them are like Big Clan, Falcons, Furia. Those are teams that have also had a lot of trouble in 5v4s. But the most annoying factor is that they have one of the better opening kill players in the world. I mean, Illege is still very good at getting openers, and that's why it's so frustrating to watch them, because it feels like I mean, I hate to use the term 1v9 because in reality, like, I don't think Elige is ever going to really see it like that. Like, he's getting an opener, and sometimes he knows he can do a little bit more. And I think that it's actually hurt Elige's performance. I think that's what's kind of gotten to me the most lately, where I feel like Elige has gone from being a more calculated player to now just thinking, I do need to go for one more. And I think that's sometimes why he'll send it after that at that 5v4 is sometimes just given up by Elige nowadays. Sometimes even in a post plant, a good crossfire is given up by Elige. And that's not necessarily what I remember him doing 6, 7 months ago. I feel like he too has been infected by the idea that things will fall apart in the round unless I make a heroic stand here. And so he's overexerting himself as opposed to actually playing within what should be a fundamental structure that the team should fall back on. And I want to bring it up again. I mean, this was Thorne's point when we talked about complexity a couple of months ago, but it is just simply the most frustrating thing that you've had one of the longest standing five-man rosters in tier one Counter-Strike, period.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet you still throw these kinds of advantages. Like, if you give any team, any five-man team in the top 15 over a year together, you would think that by the end of that they're playing like Prime Astralis in 2018.
Yeah.
Sure, they're not always going to be the most explosive, but you would expect that they play off of each other perfectly and that they know who's going to be first contact, the communication would be simple and easy, and they would have very clean conversions on rounds where they have a man advantage, but that's just not the case with complexity. There's usually some random push by a player. Sometimes it comes down to a missed shot, and you know what, that's a mechanical failure that I'm more willing to forgive. But when I watch them play a post plant and every single person just swings on their own, then I just start wanting to pull my hair out and say, cut two people on the team. Like if that's still happening a year into the roster, what is the value of keeping low performing players because they're not providing stability?
No,
it just makes you wonder what they discussed. Like, I don't know what they've been discussing over there, because it literally looks like they always, like, you talk about the Sydney game that they had. They were playing really well. Like, I mean, JT was also just popping off like a lot back then as well, so that probably helped. Like, that probably skewed their performance a little bit. But it doesn't make sense to me, like, why Elige is going for so many heroic performances. Like, he knows he's been in winning teams where he knows what the structure is and what, like, he should have been the guy that went to complexity and was like, okay, this is how we played in Liquid. Like, this is what we could do to be better. Like, this is how Floppy can peek off me. Halzerk should probably save his fucking op once in a while a little bit more. You know, like, you know, they're just throwing away guns at the same time. Like, a lot of the things that I see just seem pretty newbie. Like, this is something, like, I don't really watch Nouns too much, but it just seems like a team like that should be making those mistakes. Not like a team like Complexity that's been together forever. Like, if I see Elige push that boiler room one more time in his next match, I'm gonna lose it, actually. Like, that mistake just should be fixed. Like, I don't know what's going on there, where they're just giving up these free kills. Like, they look like they could be good, because whatever opening ideas they have seem to be strong, but it seemed like they didn't talk about the next steps in their team. Like, they didn't talk about step two, like, what happens after they get the Halls pick, or what happens if they get, like, the banana control. Like, they didn't go over those parts of their game, and it's pretty easy to fix, but I just don't know how it's even a problem to begin with.
Here's the problem. I'll give you my theory based on the personality of the players and what I think of the org. So the problem is, not only in this team, is everyone's a nice guy except evil Halzerk, who slams tables. By the way, that is a point that I absolutely agree with Yankor. When people were trying to tell Yankor, you're getting mad at Halzerk smashing the table after, I'm going to insert this, Chexnaught's any random normal AWP with. Meanwhile, Nico slammed the table after Chexnaught's losing the round of the fucking year. Like, what would have been the round of the year if he'd completed it? By the way, and he'd done all the hard work. All he had to do now was shoot Apex in the body. Like, I'd smash the table after that. You know what? I'd fucking suplex, like, Stacks to it at that point in time, metaphorically. I'm not Nico, so I can say that. Like, it's not going to happen, is it, Stacks? I'm not Nico, so don't worry about it, mate. So, in that scenario, I do think that the problem in their team is, and by the way, actually, even Halzerk's a chill fucking nice guy too. So one of the problems they have in that team is, yeah, they're all nice guys. And then who's their org owner? Jason Lake, ultimate nice guy. And then they've got Messi Orso, super nice guy, as the GM. And then they've got TC as their coach. What a nice guy, JT's friend. Their in-game leader, JT, fucking great guy. You'd love to fucking have a coffee and pancakes with him. And the org themselves, they're all cuddly. They represent NA. You know what? If this was the WB and this was a Saturday afternoon movie with Dennis Quaid playing fucking Jason Lake, Lake. Yeah, you know what? They'd probably win at the end. They'd probably do some sort of secret strat. That push by fucking Halzirk in the 1v3 would probably win inexplicably. Elige, they'd tell him, like, listen, you think you're the fucking rich kid? You think you can win just because of your daddy's money? He's like, yeah, no, I have my own way of playing the game and I'm going to do it my way, Dad. And then he'd keep pushing like that. He'd get the kills. He'd win. They'd lift the champion. But this isn't a fucking that. This is a game where Simple was one of the biggest assholes of all time and he just crushed everyone like Sauron under his fucking iron fist. That's reality. Reality isn't about nice. So I think the problem in their org is that's why they've kept this fucking lineup forever and why they're still doing that when they have an EPL, the least stakes matches ever. Fucking, it was almost won by Eternal Fire, for God's sakes, guys. It may as well just, it's not even a banana cup. It's fucking like, it's like fucking exhibition tournament or pudding. Something. Yeah, I know. It's like, what
the
is this?
Pudding cup.
It's like fucking Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. It's not the fucking heavyweight title match, is it? So already, I feel like everyone just does that thing where they just get hyped. Oh, I believe in you. You can do it. It's like, nah, I don't. You know what? I'm cynical. I'm an atheist when it comes to call. I don't believe in you. And do you know what's funny? Here's why it's tragic. Because I have made so much fucking virtual money, because it's crypto, betting on call. I've got I probably win like 80% of the time I'll call. Because here's the problem. They're so fucking woeful, like Chet says. Performance-wise, they don't have anyone except the Leeds, who's a star. They just make so many mistakes. What happens is they lose to all the good teams and never get a fucking sniff at a playoffs. Then when they lose, everyone goes, Cole's complete trash. They could never beat anyone. And then ink swoops Thorin. Delicious 3 or 2.8 odds. I think I shall indulge myself, because they've also got one thing they live off. There's two things. There's Elige, obviously, right? Spoiler, I made this point a while ago. This is where it's even worse than you think, Call fans. He has tried to get out. He wants out. He is trying to actively get into top European teams because he'd like to have a CS career again, not just be known as the guy who's pretty good on Call, a team no one gives a fuck about because this isn't a Saturday afternoon WB movie. And also, if he was to ever leave, the whole project's over. Just, you know what? Like, shutter the fucking things, fire the whole team, probably go and sign a Brazilian team at that point in time. You know what I mean? Like, it's over. If the Leeds leaves, there's nothing in the squad. Then there's one other factor they have. And look, this is where you know the map pool fucking sucks in Counter-Strike. Because since right now, there's very few teams actually like Anubis, Ancient, and Vertigo. And so the nightmare fuel is, if you don't ban Vertigo, Cole will definitely pick it. They are Vertigo merchants. They don't even like it. Elige on this show said even they don't like Vertigo.
Yeah.
But they just know everyone hates Vertigo. And even teams that don't ban it usually just go, no one picks it, so we'll just go second veto. So Cole just goes, we're the only cynical bastards that are just going to live in Vertigo. Spoiler, if I actually didn't have good players, I'd probably play the map where there's no strats. You just go upstairs and go onto a site. Like, you know what I'm
saying? Yeah.
What even is that? That point in time. So I think it's basically the Vertigo angle is all they've got against these teams. And so even though, yes, they've been able to pounce, like when Mouse was bad, they got a win against them. And they can nick like the odd win in a group stage that maybe they shouldn't if you're playing against a team that has another life in the tournament. Not only do they not make playoffs, this team would get instant fucking knocked out of the playoffs, no matter who they played. In fact, I'll tell you the really hurtful comparison I'll make to Call is, if you remember end of last year, early this year, this team is the new Gamer Legion. Oh, they can score a nice group stage upset and they can have a game that makes you think maybe it's possible. Oh, no, that's it. No, that's it. And then you don't even make the playoffs anyway. By the way, if I make fun of Saw when they go to the playoffs and beat FaZe and go to the semis, then get banged. Call doesn't even do that part. They just beat you early in the tournament and then they just fucking fade. They just disappear like a fucking Marty McFly family photo. It's ridiculous. And then lastly, the reason why them being nice guys is relevant. I'll bring it back to that. It's because where is the fire in this team? Like, do you think JT goes in there and he's like fucking actual, like proper fucking glaive and that? Where they're like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I told you not to play it the way you play back with us when we get a man advantage. No, of course he isn't. He's just going, guys, next time, remember the protocols. TC guy, he's just like fucking, again, he's just too nice. He's just some guy like, refer to page 7 of the playbook. And then fucking Halzirk's like, I fucking read the playbook. I missed my op shot. And then obviously, Jason Lake's just too chilly. He's like, oh man, and that's like, here's what I hate about this team. I get that you're not going to get any good top player to join. Can we just go and sign like a European talent though? Can we have one European talent, please? Like, can we have one prospect who's like an
Halzirk?
He's fucking years old. I mean like an up-and-coming rifler. Just sign like an aggressive rifler, the type that there are 1 billion of in Europe, by the way. Can we have one of those? Because even like the changed lineup with some potential would like give you a hope. You could live off that for 3 months. This lineup, we've seen it. It's been here the whole time in CS2. We've seen everything it can do. There's nothing left.
They're not even Vertigo Merchants anymore because they lost their last two Vertigo games.
There you go.
Like, to even, a, right. even to a bad team. They also, I don't know how much you guys rate Imperial, but I don't think they're very good.
No, no.
And they weren't even supposed to be at the event to begin with. So just like, that's just embarrassing.
Oh, and by the way, one last thing. For anyone naively thinking, when you talk about Thorin, no one to sort of be fiery. They've got Elige. You don't know Elige. Elige isn't the guy going like, you're all fucked up. His whole shit's like, just don't ever criticize me. If you ever say any shit about what I did. Well, here's the problem. He is easily the best player. But even he can make mistakes like you say in this team. By the way, if he'd have gotten into Na'Vi, like I heard the rumor, he's not doing this shit. If Blair tells him, fix that up, he'd just do it immediately. If he was in phase, like Twist, he would. If Carrigan says jump, he'd say, how high, sir? How high did Twist used to jump? I'll jump 1 centimeter high. Can I have a Grand Slam? Can I have a major? So right now, that's also why there's only two ways this goes, by the way. I'll make a prediction right now. It's not a hot take point made, but today is October. We're in 2024. It's October the 9th, right? So after the major, at the end of the year, we're going to finish the season. If there is actually a top European team, we'll take Elige. I believe he'll leave. I think he's just done at this point in time. So at that point, they call the project. We're not even talking about that point in time. Then they are the nouns fucking level and the M80 level. That's like, can they do anything? Wow, okay. Shit, is there anything? So this team's, it's whack. It's whack. Right, okay, Maui.
Yeah, well, I mean, one last thing about complexity is that the T-side woes are actually, at this point, very real. It's just, Elige and I talked more about Vertigo, actually, after that, and the way that he even described it, and this wasn't saying anything about his team or anything like that, is, like, the thing that's good about Vertigo, I think, for his team, is you can kind of be a little bit random, that you can just pop smokes whenever, because there's no incredibly strong place for CTs to, like, just put you in a chokehold. Like, if you lose ramp as a T, you can just get it back. Like, you really can just flash swing with a few people, and you might take a casualty, but there's a lot of great flashes, a lot of great ways to peek together. So it's not like map control is nearly as important as, say, like, an Inferno, like, or a Nuke. A Nuke is probably a better example today. Overpass was probably the best example back in the day, but if you can't take map control on Nuke, you're just resorting to the same plays over and over and over again, which are like APOPs. And I used to really actually rate Complexity's Anubis and their Nuke, but it's been a very long time since I've felt like I've had any faith going into any map that wasn't Vertigo for them to just random a team on it. And even their Anubis is just, like, it's one of the weaker Anubises too at this point. Like, I'm not even really convinced about that. And it is also just crazy that as soon as Liquid came into the space with this new 5-man lineup, they've just been destroying Complexity every single time. And it's like, you're supposed to have at least the experience as a roster together and not just get upended by a team that is just assembling their team today.
Dude, they're getting destroyed by Liquid as well. It's not even close. Like, no. I don't even know how that's possible. When they got, like, they got two rounds on a Nuke.
By the way, that was one last thing I was going to say. Yeah. That even ties into why I actually think the team just sucks. Because, bro, they play like they know they're upset merchants. They play so desperate. Like, they don't play like their players really believe they're going to win a duel against a top rifler. They play like, I have to just do some crazy shit. Just pop in his face. Oh, did it work? Shit, did I accidentally kill him? What is this? Like, mate, I tell you what, even when people criticize FaZe, those players still take duels like they think they're better, mate. Like, they think they're best
to a fault.
Yeah.
In a good way, though.
Yeah.
How are they losing 12 rounds in a row on Nuke is beyond me. Like, surely we know one good strat that can guarantee us something, or, like, dude, someone like has something, right? That is crazy. You have three timeouts and you have 12 rounds to play with. You can't get 12-0. That's just not a thing. That's just, right. I'm just upset with their general play. That's all I'd say.
All right, I'll do my bad point here. This has been a topic of discussion on my stream, and even the occasional tweet comes out about it, but I think that Wonderful has been a super solid piece of Na'Vi for this entire year, but it's time to admit to the public that he has a horrible Grand Finals choking problem. Like, this guy has been abhorrent for Na'Vi in not every single Grand Final, but he's always playing worse in Grand Finals. I will give you now the ratings of him in every single Grand Final that he played.
Okay.
At the PGL Major, 0.93 rating. At the Blast Spring Finals, 0.97 rating. EWC, 1.06 rating. But at the tournament, he had a 1.29 rating, including that Grand Final. Cologne, 1.00 rating. EPL, and this is his best Grand Final where they beat over Eternal Fire, 1.11. And at the most recent Blastfall Finals, 0.87 rating. Like, this guy, on average, even including his grand final, to comparing it to his tournament rating as a whole, on average, 0.13 weaker in grand finals. And there is a case to be made and a very obvious point to be made. Well, he's going to be playing against better opposition, but even against Eternal Fire, who wasn't the strongest opposition that Na'Vi played at EPL, he's still playing worse in that one versus the other teams. And it's pretty clear at this point that whatever is getting to him is festering to a greater degree in the grand finals. And I think some people have noticed this when you see the webcams and everything like that. He does this thing with his hand where he just like starts sliding it across the table back and forth really fast after he dies. And Alexei is basically playing nanny the whole time trying to calm him down because it doesn't, it's like he's not raging. He's not like someone that's slamming the table. He just has that about to cry nervous energy all the time, which is exactly what I would not want out of an opera when I have a world-class team. And it feels almost in a way like some of the energy that he probably had from the PGL major about if we get this done, I won't get replaced by Simple is somehow it's somehow carrying over actually into all of these other grand finals that he's playing, that as if the ghost of Simple is right there holding him on the shoulder saying, I'm coming for your spot if you don't actually perform well here. It's a lot of just kind of like armchair analysis for why he's playing badly, because in a general, he almost gets more out of the system than I would expect from someone that's in the positions that he's in grand finals. Like, Na'Vi aren't they do make a couple plays for him, but a lot of their T side especially is not focused around activating Wonderful. He's not like ultimate. They're not trying to set him up for opening picks very often. And so he has to usually pick up the pieces in the mid late round for them, and it usually comes most alive in clutches for them. But in grand finals, he's just not a clutcher at all. Like, it just doesn't really happen in the same way that it does during other parts of the event where, God, like, Wonderful today, even when he's playing Fury, he had this insane ace where he was just like peeking everybody, just going for the, just like whipping his AWP around, just like knows where the next duel's gonna be coming from. You do not get the same guy in later stages of tournaments, let alone the grand finals. So there's clearly a problem with him in these moments that needs to be acknowledged. And even at Cologne, actually, we saw it on the cams, or maybe it was the fall finals. Like, he's just ripping his vape between maps, and it's like, I'm sorry, that's just, I don't see how I don't know what's gonna help him, but I just can't imagine it's that. Like, talk to Ursula. Like, at least, I think, what is it? Like, Ema or Jayla had, like, a ball that they're, like, at least throwing around or something like that. Like, dude, do something else. Like, please, like, anything else. Goddamn.
Of course, JL just has like the most basic human toy you ever invented, like a button. Goes round. Oh, I'm back in the game, right? I'm back, coach. I'm zoned back in again. I've got my shit together. I bet the joke is when they go backstage, if JL's like got nervous energy, they just get a laser pointer out and start shining it on the floor and starts darting around after it. Anyway, what do you think about Wonderful Chat?
I mean, I think he's definitely, I mean, there's a reason why they get to all these finals. He definitely does play well, but
Yeah.
yeah, when he gets to the final, I'm not sure what happens. I'm not sure, like, that Eternal Fire one, I felt like should have maybe ignited a little bit of confidence when he gets in finals, because that is where he played the best so far. Like, that's what you hope for, right? When you get like a younger player or like a player who is getting into like trying to break like a slump or whatever. All they need is like that one performance, and then they can like boost out of it. And I thought that could have been enough, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe he's still waiting to get that breakthrough performance in a final, where once he gets that one rolling, it might be like he's on a heater, kind of like how we talked about Furia. Once they got into that form, like that rhythm, that groove into a tournament, like he gets that one final, he'll just like keep spiraling, like, oh, keep going, oh, keep going. But he's yet to have gotten that for some reason, and I feel like it can be a structure issue because their structure is what gets them there in the first place. I don't know how he's trying to cope with that. I don't know if they have like a sports psychologist.
Yeah, they
Much of
do.
that's it worked. Yeah, like I don't know how much like she or he has worked with him. Like I don't know how that's going on, or I don't know if maybe another thing that they could have probably done that I've done in the past is, they don't really set him up for that many AWP kills to begin with, or like they don't like do a lot to activate him. So maybe when he's playing a little slow, they can start just calling a couple of plays around him to just get him in the game. It's kind of similar to like if you're like a Mirage player on B, right? You're jump spotting a lot. You're jump spotting. They finally hit your sight and you whiff everything. Like you just whiff everything because you're just cold as fuck. So maybe he just needs stronger starts. So maybe that's something Navi could look into for his finals specifically, is just, setting up for a really strong start, making sure he can go for picks that he needs. Maybe they invest another flash or two. Instead of dropping nades to him, he could be the one getting nades dropped for. Just try to get him more involved into the finals just to boost his confidence, because I'm sure that's all he's looking for. Like you said, like maybe the simple thing is like looming around him. Maybe that's a real thing, but I feel like at this point his spot feels pretty safe. Especially with like Simple being loaned out to all these teams, and maybe he'll join a different team. Like, I feel like he shouldn't be stressed out about that. But yeah, I would probably just suggest, like, I feel like he's good. Like, there's no reason for him to leave the team or whatever, or for the roster to change. I think just maybe the approach just hasn't changed for him, or maybe he should just be asking for these things. Be like, yo, can we be setting me up on Dust 2 a little bit more, Mirage, whatever. Like, I know we have a system, but like, maybe also that could be in their benefit. Like, if they set him up more, the teams that are anti-striding him aren't going to be as prepared, They're not going to expect, like, oh, Wonderful's gonna be pushing Palace on Mirage. Like, they're not prepared for all of that. That might actually give them an edge in the finals as well, just for like a random like thing they've been working on in practice that they just pull up in the final. So those are probably the things I'd be looking out for, just for Wonderful.
I will say he is far and away the youngest player on the team. If people don't know, he's still 19 years old and he's only going to be 20 in December. And even though you think Bit's young, Bit will be 22 in January. And everyone else is like 25, 20. People don't know how old Imran fucking, I think Imran and Jael are both 25, mate. Like they're actually much older players. And so one of the problems he has, in my opinion, is he was never playing at this level. Like, look, he was in a team that could have like made a top eight at a major or had like a playoff run. But even then, he could get to do that dream thing when you're a young guy, which is you're not supposed to go deep. So what happens is when you play awesome, the team wins and you get deep, and people go, "Wow, he's pretty good." Then when you lose, he loses a team anyway. So everyone goes, "Oh, well, no shade on you." Now he's in a team where basically, if he played better in some of the finals Maui's talking about, they'd probably win every single final. Like they'd actually have had like an era by now. It'd be fucking mental. But I also agree with Chet. Reasons I hate when people tell me this guy is shit, replace him with literally any other AWP. It's like, are you watching the rest of the tournaments or just the finals? Like, the joke is because there's that nightmare thing of like, is Bit actually like a top six player in the world? I mean, not really. If you look at some of the maps and some of the time, I still feel like if you ask me a random map in a random tournament, who the best player on Na'Vi will be, it'll probably be Wonderful. I think he's got the highest floor. He just generally has the best play overall. Like he actually is pretty good, by the way. He has plenty of series and playoffs that aren't the finals where he carries, and he's the best player, etc. He definitely has an issue in the finals. I'm with you on that one. Like not only that, but he even does that thing in the finals where actually his AWP just goes to shit too. Like he'll just for real can't hold positions, or he just gets killed too easily right at the end of the game because Na'Vi can just get into a lot of those close games. So that I mean, put it this way, you have to ask this question, which people never do. If JL wins all these miracle 1v1s, why is he in 1v1s? That's the little question you sort of got to ask yourself, because you shouldn't be in a million 1v1s, mate. You know what I mean? Like, but there's a reason you are. So I do think that's a problem. The issue is, though, because he's 19, because it's his first year at the top, he's getting experience. This is one of those ones where, unless you really are going to do the fucking... Listen, I already thought Blade was a fucking journey, like... fucking mega mind genius. But if he really is 17D chess playing, that he has Simple go and warm up in Falcons on loan, turn out to be really good on the AWP, and then goes, you know what, Wonderful, it's been real, but the king is back, and now we know he's good. So now I commit, I put Simple in the slide, and now I think 2025 is mine. And then just takes all the... That would be gangster. I wouldn't put that past Blade, by the way. That's the sort of, like, God-tier movie he would do. Probably make fucking Falcons pay, like, 700k in the meantime for the loan, and then just brings him back. So unless that happens, I think they should obviously just run this lineup into next year. It looks really good. You win the major again at the end of the year. But I do agree that is one of the factors, because there's a reason why, like at the moment, they should be, I mean, it's bad for them at this event. If you saw the day before this event, they announced they were changing it back to a best of five final. Bro, it is only the fact that the major isn't best of five in the final. That means you can still go. This team could be number one at all. If you look at best of five finals, bro, a lot of teams could get him in that now. I mean, I'll just say it straight up. You know, I'm an Eternal Fire hater, or a Magia hater. Eternal Fire probably should have won that match, by the way. Like, they actually probably should have won that Pro League final. It's crazy. So I think he's one of their factors that's got an issue. I'll still give him time. I also do think he is clearly in their team. Not even though he's like the AWPer, they don't play like he's a superstar AWPer. They never have in this squad. So I think they're also a bit cynical in that sense. Right. My bad point is actually one a lot of people seem to have missed. I'm amazed. Because here's the thing. One thing I love about the ESL format for many years now is it's the same format in all the tournaments. It's that group stage with the double elim, so that's awesome, because then you get that scenario where like you can lose. Now, I'm not as big a fan of the BO1s at the beginning. That's not even the biggest part of this format, though. I do think for this event it sucks because you go to South America and lose a BO1. So then, obviously, they have the thing where they want the playoffs to be single elim and to control it as six teams so you can do two matches on each day and then a final. That's all great, right? My problem is this. A lot of people haven't noticed this. Have you noticed how they've actually made it, like, way more accelerated, though? Like, there are matches. It happened today. Happened in the first round. If you won some of your upper bracket matches in Group A, you played the best of three the same day. In the lower bracket, Mongols just finished beating fucking Eternal Fire and then immediately had to play Virtus Pro right afterwards. The same day. Two BO3s in a row on the same day. And remember, I can't even know who's in the second BO3. I can't prep for it. I have to play this first BO3. And then by the time I win, like, bro, how much time have I got to prep here? Like, if people don't get it in Counter-Strike, look, I don't want you to have a week, but I want you to have overnight. I want someone like Chet to go away or Blade and go and download 15 demos and find some, like, little angles, some smoke kit. You can't find that in an hour and a half. By the way, after a full best of three, if you go three maps, you're having dinner. You're not even fucking playing. You're doing that thing where you just talk in over dinner about what you remember of last time you played them or in scrims. You're not even doing real prep at that point. It's actually just going to make the games worse, guys. And I look at the format and I just think to myself, like, sure, because I think didn't this tournament begin on, like, Tuesday or something? Couldn't we have just started on Monday or something? You know what I mean? Give it an extra day and make it breathe.
It was Monday.
It started on Monday.
Was it? What's changed then? Because how is it possible that there's all these matches that you play twice? I'm almost certain that wasn't a thing before. That isn't the thing at Cologne.
At Cologne, I'm not. I think at Cologne, there was always one team that actually got fucked and had to play two matches.
Well, each day, there's like two or three. There's a whole bunch of them each day. And by the way, that's also unfair because if you were in Group B, for example, so G2 lost their BO1, right? If you won your BO1 in Group A, you instantly played like Na'Vi in a best of three. Meanwhile, in the lower bracket, G2 lost their BO1, got to play overnight in their BO3 the next day. That doesn't make sense either. What's that?
Well, they've done this for the, like, IEM non-Kato Cologne events.
I'm not a fan.
Like, the Cheng...
I think it reduces the level of CS.
Chengdu, Dallas, and Rio have been doing this stuff where it's like... Yeah, it makes it so that for the lower bracket games in the group stage, you have to win your BO3, and then you have to play another BO3 the same day. Except for, like, one side of the bracket doesn't have to do it.
Yep.
It's actually... I think there was a chance at Cologne where you would have to do it if you're one team, but then the other team wouldn't have to. And there was always a narrative we brought up on the desk where it was like, well, this team didn't have to play a BO3 earlier today. Well, that team did have to, and then we just had to live with it. But at the Dallas and Rio events, I think it always would happen. It always happened on one of the sides of the bracket. Yeah, it's awkward. I mean, the format is weird. The BO1 stuff, the format can be weird. I don't think it's necessarily a bad format. Like, I mean, I'm thinking of, like, alternatives to this. I wouldn't mind. I feel like this is crazy to say, but maybe it's just that it's like round robin in some way wouldn't be the worst thing.
I hate round robin, but all right.
Yeah, I feel
there's so many like weird scenarios from that.
The problem with round robin always will be at the end of the group, you can have the stupid tie scenario, or my tournament life revolves you trying to beat Chet when you're already out the tournament. So that's a flawed one. The best one's GSL groups. Oh. That's what I like.
GSL is great. I'm thinking like EPL type events for I was conflating things. I was thinking of like the triple elim EPL, which is so low stakes. I wouldn't mind some sort of like a round robin.
By the way, as a general rule, can't we just get rid of BO1 in like real S tier tournaments? So what, BO1 has no place in CS. I've always said this. BO1 isn't CS because you can ban three maps. The reason why best of three is CS is because I can only ban one map. The difference between that is everything. Everyone who goes, just like the decider, it isn't. It isn't. I can win 2-0 from a better team than you have a way better map pool. I don't have to go to a decider. That's why it'll always be. And also, I'll admit, this is the worst version of it because you are the team that flew all the way to South America on that massive flight. You get there, you get banged out in a BO1, even better if you play a fucking Brazilian team. If you don't know, by the way, I'm cynical. I literally bet on Furia to beat FaZe for exactly that reason. I was like, this flew all the way there. Furia just rocks up in the BO1. Fuck them. Like, I even took Imperial just in case they fluked over Na'Vi. So, like, I just don't like that as the aspect. Like, I feel like ESL can just do better, mate. Come on. You had the best tournament. It's also a spoiler. Here's another thing that's so cynical about ESL. So you're the ones who announced, guys, we're changing all the smaller IEMs to have best of three finals. Blast. We're making ours best of five. Shit, ours is best of five as well now. Fucking hell, that's so obvious, isn't it? Come on, bro. It's obvious why you did that. You didn't do it for some special reason, did you? You just obviously went, well, shit, now we look like we're the banana cop. Like, yeah, exactly. So then you wanted the best of five finals. By the way, best of five finals are awesome. MR12, yeah. It works now. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
They're awesome.
Right, what is your ugly point, chat?
Oh, mine's pretty simple. It's more so just about the G2 performances, how they've gone from such a high to such a low in this last tournament, that just kind of, like, their flaws seem so obvious that I'm just not sure how other teams haven't exploited it at this point. But they also have such high performers that it kind of makes sense. Like, Modesty and Nico can make up for a lot of, like, what Snacks brings to the table. I don't know how you guys feel strategically about G2, but I feel like it's kind of simple.
My joke is, you know, have you ever heard that story, Chet? You'll like this one. You know the one when Gandhi visited England? Have you ever heard of this?
Yeah.
And he visited England and they said something like, you know, what do you think of, like, I can't remember what it was. It something like, what do you think of British civilization or something? And he was like, I think it would be a good idea or something, right? That's how I feel strategically about G2. I think it would be a good idea. I'm just waiting to see it. I've always said this, bro. Malbs go onto the fucking site and shoot two people in the head with an AK on Ancient is not a strat. That is not a strat. That isn't even... that's just a guy with an AK shooting people in the head. Like, that's not strat. So I hate this team. Low-key.
Yeah, it feels like...
I'm on short saying it, so keep going.
It feels like they could just drop, like, weapons to their star players, even, like, Malbs or whatever, and, like, those players can just outperform, like, the... Like, their firepower makes up for their lack of, like...
You should actually give for real Monacy and Nico, like, hero weapons. You actually probably should. You'd win more games, I think.
Oh, yeah. There was, like, a round where Monacy just had, like, a scout. Like, he was just getting, like, two headshots, picked up an AK, had it for the next round.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, like, that's cool, I guess. But, like, where's the actual, like, you know, like, outplaying potential? Like, where's, like, the...
And then they're taking timeouts and fucking Taz is like, the wheels on the bus go fucking round and round. Like, I'm out.
They're terrible. The Taz
timeouts. Also, it's like that meme, isn't it? He's not beating the allegations that Maui's made. Like, every clip that Sean just plays into Maui's narrative. God. It's bad, isn't it? I know.
Surely, that last clip they showed, surely, like, he, like, said more before that.
I know.
Yeah, like, they had to cut out all
By the way, I can also do, like, the charitable reading. Like, here's an example. It could be that what he means by that is, like, guys, like, at the moment, we're just playing the game and going through the motions. We've got to realize that, like, this game's going to get away from us if we don't get rounds, like, right now. Like, that's what he's saying. Like, we have to literally fucking win rounds now. We have to, like, forget everything else, forget tactics, get in the game. But the problem is, I was just super charitable. When I actually look how they play, they don't play, like, the tactical at all. And spoiler, Nico plays, like, he's not just going to Falcons. Like, as he plays, his lucky charm is, like, the fucking ticket to Saudi Arabia under his monitor. He just looks at that after every half, like, yep, it's all sorted. You know what? It's only a few more months of this shit. Like, they play like they're a dead team, too. I don't believe in this squad at all, bro.
Yeah, which is why I feel like that's why they can have such high highs and such a low. Like they're capable of winning a tournament if they just, like, are in individual form.
Yes.
But if Nico has an event like he just had, like, that's just over. Like, there's not enough firepower to make up for the lack of how bad they are strategically. Or even their CT sides, like, their CT sides are not great. Like, specifically, like going to this tournament, that Dust2 game they played, dude, like, Heroic just perfectly, like, read their defense. Like, there was no adaptation. They ran the same setup every round. They didn't even, like, try to gamble B. Like, at least put a third player towards B, you know? Like, help the guy. Like, shut it down once. Maybe crunch tunnels. Like, do something. Like, have something creative going on. But they're just sitting there accepting fate. I mean, they're also, I feel like, one of the teams where, like, when you go to the highlights page on HLTV right now, a lot of the highlights are literally just their players. Like, I'm sure if you actually click, it'll be, like, Modesty 1v2, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's a majority of their players, like, not the other team. So they're just getting a lot of heroic rounds over and over and over again, which, like, is, if you're going to win a consistent amount of tournaments, that's not the structure you should be aiming towards. Like, that's way too inconsistent. Like, Modesty is not going to 1v4 every time, or Nico's not going to, you know, 1v2 clutch, like, every single time. You know, that's not consistent. That's not reliable. Like, Snacks is... Actually, well, never mind. Well, like... I don't know what... I actually don't know where to go with him, but he's a great guy. You know, I don't know. Like, like, Hunter, you know, he brings stuff to the table as well. Like, I'm pretty sure he had an ace. Yeah, I'm looking... Actually, I just viewed, like, their... This is a BO5, to be fair, but I'll literally... most of them, besides, like, Alexi B's Like, it's literally just their whole team, like all the highlights. So
Yeah.
that's kind of fucked. Like, they're literally just a highlight machine. Like,
Exactly.
that's not good. Like, that's not how CS is. You can't just rely on like pure individual like heroics. That wins you tournaments for sure. Like, you can win tournaments. Like, you need players to pop off, but that can't be your win condition. That's just not reliable.
Yeah, I framed this whole discussion before, like when they picked up Snax and Taz, or when they picked up Snax, it's just that I was degrading the move. I was like, this is just terrible. This doesn't make any sense. The Gamer Legion guys, sure, you can give the excuses that the guys on Gamer Legion weren't very experienced, but Snax was trying to play hero roles and make heroic mid-round calls, and it was confused. It was probably confusing his own players, honestly. And it led to the worst T-side round win percentage in all of Tier 1 Counter-Strike for that whole season. And so I really did not rate this before, but I said as a qualifying statement just that this team can still win tournaments, but if you play it a whole season out like the Premier League, where it's just about who at the end of 80 games or whatever metric you want to use, whatever sample size you feel like you need, if it was just 60 BO3s of Counter-Strike and you have all of the teams that are in the top 20 in it, G2 is not winning that. Like, G2 is not winning the most games across all top tier teams over and over and over again. They might have the highest rated. They might have two of the highest rated players. I think Monacy and Nico could easily be the two highest rated players. I think Malbs could be a top five T-sided rated player in the world. But it's just such a lack of consistency, because if there is one week where Monacy's sick or he's just playing 5% beneath what he does normally for the rest of the season, this team just crumbles. Like, there's no fallback plan. Eternal Fire, they just humbled G2 entirely on Mirage. They showed them that if we don't give you picks during your mid control, you don't even know how to crunch onto bomb sites well. Like, you guys need us to feed you in middle kills so that you guys can actually play with a man advantage. But if you are tasked with putting one guy, like two guys coming up con, one guy going through window to flank jungle, one guy ramp, one guy palace, whatever, any assembly or any kind of iteration of that, you guys don't have the coordination to even hit these bomb sites well enough to unseat our crossfire. So Nah, this G2 team is like, it sucks because I think actually in a weird and stupid way, this team is actually constructed pretty well for the circuit that we have in Counter-Strike. If we had this long season structure where you had to actually put forward a consistent foundational structure that is going to amount to X amount of wins so that you win the most in the whole season, G2 would never win that style of tournament. Or league. But if you can play a tournament, play 10 maps, and just see who had the best form for 5 days, absolutely I could bet on G2. I could bet on G2 every single tournament. And if they have bad odds ever, as the outright bookmaker lists it, I would just take it, because like there's always a chance they win. There's always a chance they beat the best teams in the world. And they've played at all the best teams in the world enough times by now that they at least are now gaining a little bit of steam in terms of like losing to Na'Vi over and over and over again. I think, what was it?
Nine
Nine
times.
times? It was 9 times in a
Yeah.
row. They lost to Na'Vi 9 times in a row. Finally, the 10th time they won. I'll take the odds that Na'Vi's going to win again through a Premier League season, that they're going to win 3 out of the 4 times if they're playing them or whatever it is. But I'm not going to, I like, and that's why a tournament in some ways is too small of a sample size. I love small sample size. I love making hot takes, but G2 can both, un it can, they can. They can fuck up your expectations, but they could also live up to them because individuals can just carry them map to map.
G2 is just the fucking mirror image of Na'Vi, because Na'Vi doesn't have the massive superstar players that carry the game on their own and do whatever the fuck they want. They have all the structure and the proper calling, and everyone works in their roles, and they fucking do, and they have the solid map pool, and they play very consistently, and you know what to expect from them tournament to tournament. And even if someone beats them, it's usually going to be three maps or pretty close, or like someone did a heroic thing. G2 is the team where literally it's been like this the whole time. Like, it's like, they're like a fucking, someone have a heart attack on the EKG machine or whatever, you know, because they're just playing like, it looks like fuck all structure. That's the reason no one gives you credit, Snacks, because it looks like these aren't tactics, mate. It looks like Monacy and Nico have all the agency to do whatever they want, and they do whatever they want. Then also, Malbs just literally just runs onto sites on T-side and shoots people with the AK. Hunter, I just think, isn't even good. I don't give a fuck if he has the odd series. The numbers don't lie. If you look over the long run, large sample size, I always talk about the numbers do not add up for Hunter. He's not a good player in this team. And he's definitely not, by the way, some sort of supportive element. I don't even know what they're fucking thinking the roles are. And in fact, I'll even go one further. I think one of the stupidest things about this team, bearing in mind firepower and mega punches chance like Maui was just talking about, is your best option, is why the fuck you don't just say, Hunter, just fucking suck it up, mate. Malps has to have better CT spots. Because right now, if he doesn't have better CT spots, we're just wasting that side of the game. Like on CT side, if you don't know, Monacy giga carries them. It's fucking ridiculous. That's one of the reasons I think he's the best player in the world, because when he's on CT side, where there's no Cadian calling this, he's doing his rotations, he's doing his peaks, he's taking the repeaks. He just dominates from that side. T side, they're really good because they've got all these firepower, etc., blah, blah, blah. But even then, by the way, people miss that because they see the odd Hunter game. Here's how it normally goes. Hunter and Snacks shit the bed in terms of fragging most of the time. Nico and Monacy are two of the best players in the world. If Malps has a good game, he's the X factor. There you go, you can win that game. If he has an all right game, not even a bad game, then you lose that game. You can just lose that game outright. That's why it's not, have you noticed how? Yes, everyone fragged badly, but it's not just that Nico frags badly. When he frags badly, the team has nothing. They don't have like you could, again, think about what I was saying about IGLs. You could have a scenario where you just don't close the round. You get onto the sites, you use your util correctly, you trade correctly, you get in there. People don't know. One of the reasons I look down on people who think you need superstar teams to win T rounds is the whole mechanic of Counter-Strike. Let me very briefly give you a fucking 30-second lesson and you will now know how to watch the game, you dunce idiots watching crosshairs. Here's how Counter-Strike works. There are two mechanisms. One, you are the T's, so you choose where the first engagement onto the site takes place. There are never going to be five people in that site. So if you want to, you can always have the numbers advantage going into that bomb site. When you go into the bomb site with numbers advantage, you don't even need a hero to get a 3K. You are just doing a trade frag, the most basic T-side concept since 20 years ago. And so if you have a numbers advantage going onto a site and you trade correctly, even if that's Zewu, even if that's simple, you trade correctly, you now are on the bomb site, you plant the bomb, and it's now a retake scenario, probably with you up in numbers if you do it correctly, or at least even numbers. That is exactly what G2 doesn't do. They shoot people in the head. They don't do what I just said, play Counter-Strike. They shoot people in the head with guns. So look, I tell you what, I agree with Maui. If you want to bet, brilliant team to bet if they're underdog up against a big favourite. Also, really exciting team. Also, if you're just a big fan of Nico Monacy like I am, it's fucking, in a perverted way, it's sick to watch them have to do absolutely everything. I sort of like to see people forced to giga carry. But I'll tell you what, it certainly isn't cool, because when you win that Blast Fall event, I actually want to do what we were joking about, Maui. I want to be able to go, you know what, you're legit now. Welcome to the table of Vitality and fucking Narv. And in the past, Spirit, etc. You're now an elite team. Let's see you in all the semi-finals. And let's see, you know what, maybe you could win that major. Right now, if you won that major, it wouldn't be a total fluke, but it would just be that people overperformed. Like, if you win that major, let's be real, probably Monacy and Nico did like a 1.3 rating. Well, that isn't tactics either. That's not building a fucking team. Na'Vi can win a major with two players on fucking 0.89 and one on like a 1.1 or some shit like that. Like, that's the difference between those two teams. They're playing CS, you're just shooting people. You're playing CSDM.
The Vu brought it up to me at one point that actually, of all the people whose rating is most correlated with winning of G2, it's actually Malbs. Like, if he has above like a 1.06, their chance of winning is much higher, just because, and it's just like, yeah, you watch the games and it's just so predicated on his entry success. If he runs into a bomb site or takes mid or whatever, he's gonna, and he gets one, two kills, yeah, they're gonna convert it. It's kind of like the Donk. Like Malbs is definitely the Guatemalan Donk right now. He's definitely having to do too much for the role in order to aid them in the success that they basically are relying on him to find. Like, if, yeah, Nico can do it too, and that's why G2 is super scary. That's why they're better than Spirit, because maybe Spirit structure is actually slightly better than G2's right now, but G2 has two guys that can do what Donk does, and they have Monacy, who is more active than Shiro. And it sucks to just have to. I think these conversations always end up a little frustrating, because you want Counter-Strike to be, you don't want it to be this reductive to down to individuals like this. Like, that's why Na'Vi's so fun to talk about, as opposed to teams like Spirit and G2 right now, where it's just feast or famine. Either their stars are farming and then you're winning, or they're playing with a 0.9 rating and then you just have literally no chance to win at all.
By the way, I'll just make a quick point as well for the people who really do just watch the frags and this. This is not what super teams look like. I'll give you two super teams from Chet's era in CSGO, and this is an example of how they didn't just shoot people in the head. So Team Liquid 2019, like, every idiot will just look because they were mega skilled and think they're just playing CS. They're not. Like, they actually played like a fucking super punish style on T-side where they like bait you out and then fuck you up because they have the best players in the world. And by the way, their trade flag is fucking bonkers. What are you talking about? Are you going to kill them? Then how about old school phase with Guardian and Rain and fucking... They had Carrigan, probably the best mid-round caller ever, to play CS. In this scenario, that's why this team is like, all they have is the puncher's chance. They have... Listen, it's a crazy... In this analogy of the punch, they knock you out if they hit you with it. But the problem is if they whiff, they've got nothing. They've got no defense. They've got no fucking jab. They've got no... It's just a haymaker. That's it. It's a haymaker. Yeah, that's all they're throwing is a massive haymaker. They're like butter bean. That's an old school reference, whatever. Right, let's move on then. What is your ugly point, Maui?
Mine is for the Blast World Finals. It's actually been posted yesterday or maybe 2 days ago at this point for Vitality... that they were not going to be playing with Mezzi at the World Finals. Yep. And the replacement that they're actually using is Jax. And yeah, Jax has been just completely irrelevant in the Counter-Strike 2 space in general. I wasn't even going to just say like the year or anything like that. It's basically been all of CS2. Jax has just been completely irrelevant as a player. He's been on TSM, who achieved absolutely fuck
nothing.
All. And now he's playing with Gen 1, which I...
KRL's team.
It's KRL's team. Yeah, I'm glad you confirmed that. But he was... They're doing pretty much nothing also. He's performing sort of randomly, like as in tournament to tournament. He'll go red, then gray, then green. I looked at one of his demos actually yesterday.
What's he, a fucking mood ring or something? Keep going.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Like, I looked at one of his demos though, and I cherry picked a really good demo, like one of his highest ratings of the entire year, and his gameplay is just really flawed. Like, he was playing ramp on nuke, and he was also playing like the lobby lurker for them on T side, and he did very well. He had a 1.73 rating, but he just the way Jax peaks in this game, he puts his... And some people do this. Like, if you look at a lot of POV demos, you see a couple people do this. He so frequently, as opposed to when he's rounding a corner, tracking the edge of a wall, he just aims almost like he has wall hacks at where he thinks the next fight is going to be. And so what actually happens to him really frequently, especially in his bad games, is that people will just swing into him as he's swinging, but his crosshair isn't on the edge of the peaking angle. It's that he's, like, looking through the wall, and so they'll just surprise him. Like, this happens to him a lot. Like, it's basically when he dies, he's usually rounding a corner, but his crosshair isn't on the corner. You guys understand what I mean, right? Like,
he's trying to preempt too hard.
Yeah, it's such a bad habit, and he does it, and he lines it up well before he's there, and then he just kind of stays. It's like he's just not locked in at all. Like, he's like, the guy's going to be there. I'm fully committing to that idea no matter what, and if he's not there, I will lose this fight 100 out of 100 times. He has great first bullet accuracy still, so he can make corrections, but he also just kind of still is in that mindset where he tries to do too much. Either way, he doesn't play the same spots as Mezzi. He's not the same kind of player as Mezzi, and... The reason is not just like, I'm not just saying Jax is bad. Like, that's not the ugly point here. The ugly point is more that this race for number one is so vicious right now that every tournament actually matters. And if Jax and Vitality don't win this, and let's say it's Shira or not Shira, a Donk or G2's Monacy, like at the end of the year, like, those little edges are going to matter unless he overcomes it with some kind of major victory. But at the same time, I just want all the tournaments for the rest of the year, for the rest of the season, to be played by the 5-man lineups for these teams, because I feel like I want them to just ramp up in the most proper way that they can and get the most reps that they can, so that come major time, it is full 100%. There's no caveats, no excuses, none of that. And I don't think Vitality are going to throw out an excuse. I don't think they're going to say, oh, it's because we played with Jax in Singapore that we're not playing well in Shanghai. But I do think that there is an element to the narrative building that is lost when this kind of substitution has. And I just feel like Jax is in a weird... I also just kind of wish it was a more worthy replacement. Like, I don't think they could get Yimpat, obviously, but if they could get somebody that's just a lot sicker in this kind of role that we know has potential, as opposed to just being buds with the Vitality guys in Apex, then I think it would just play out better.
Thoughts, chat?
I mean, I don't know what their options were for replacements. I mean, that does suck for Vitality and like their race for number one, because now it's just like, what if they did have Mezzi? Like, would they have just like won out and did really well? And it's for an important event as well, so that kind of sucks. I don't know if he has any ex-teammates on that team on Vitality. Does he at all? I don't remember,
No.
because he was on G2, but I don't think any of those players are on that team
No.
from memory. They're
Oh,
starting.
just
Like,
the Apex, just Apex. Oh, Apex.
there's
Yeah.
Apex, right?
Apex, Apex. Yeah.
No, did they
Right?
ever? No, they were never in the same team, actually. No,
No,
no.
I don't
No,
think
they
Apex is
weren't.
better than the same
No.
team with him.
No, he was on
Oh, okay.
G2, you're
Though
right.
they used him as a sub that one time that at
And I think it was
ESL Pro
another
League a few.
Blast or something, wasn't it? Was it
Well,
ESL
I'm
Pro
sure
or was
they all
it
know each other. They're all
EPL?
French. They probably know
Oh,
something.
okay.
Yeah, but yeah, it just seems like a really random replacement, especially because I remember on G2, even when I was in CS, and I think even later on when I was gone, because I was still watching, he didn't perform that well like most of the time. He had like probably like odd series. Like he was like one of those hot and cold players, like how you said how he aims. Like, you know, if his pre-aim is there and they're exactly there, he's probably gonna have a really good series. But that style of aiming is so inconsistent because the moment they're not there, it's almost like he's on a bot's training map. Like he went on like an aim training map, like what is that fucking program called? Like Refrag or some shit. Like he went on one of those, like did all those crosshair trainings like perfectly, and now he's trying to translate it to like a real game scenario, but that just isn't how real games work, you know? Like they're gonna be in random spots and random off angles. Like he's basically just relying on him flicking his crosshair like every single time, and that's just not good. Like that's just not good mechanics. Like that's just him being good enough to hit that shot that if he gets it, he's gonna win that battle. So I mean, if the other team gives it to him like that, then it should be fine for them. But I highly doubt it, to be honest. I feel like they're gonna struggle a bit, especially if they have to change a bunch of spots. Like maybe it puts like Flames in a better position or Apex in a better spot. Maybe they can compensate by putting those players in better positions and Jax takes like all the bitch roles. Maybe that could work. And also, that could maybe play into their advantage as well. Maybe that's the edge they need to just be a little bit unpredictable, and then that might help them win the whatever next event they go to. So it could work in a good way, but we won't be sure until like we actually see, I guess.
Two things. One, they can't be any worse because I'm told by Zee who fancy he plays 1v9. So logically, it's still 1v9. So just go ahead and win the tournament, mate. What's the problem? Should win with Jax too. It's all good. 1v9. Secondly, here's the factor of the Apex connection. I know when they used him in Vitality as a stand-in that time, he actually fragged out, if people don't remember. And Apex has a theory that he's the only one who like gets how to use Jax, and that if you can use him, you know, like pilot
Jax's
him
for
exactly. Like
okay.
if you can do that,
Yeah.
then suddenly like unleashes the beast inside or whatever and goes into the. By the way, if people don't know, Jax is really fucking old. I'd have to look it up, but I think he's probably like 28 or 29, by the way. He's
No,
fucking
he's
really
above his
ancient. Yeah,
thirties.
he's really,
He's
he
in his
might, yeah, there you
thirties.
go. He's in his 30s. So he's really ancient. So actually, to have the aim he has, it's not bad even. But I agree with
32.
you. He is the ultimate
30.
up and down
Yeah.
player. Like, because I used to always say he's fundamentally not anywhere close to a good player, but he has the most bonkers highlights of a bad player I've ever seen. He has ones where he looks like he's fucking mal. Do you know what I mean? Like just crazy headshots all over the place. So, but whatever. So to me, I assume you just use him with Apex. He's just some sort of entry player at this point. I think this sucks because for all the hate, by the way, Messi is the number one. I mean, apparently they claim within the team as well, but outside the team, the number one player people bag on in Vitality is Messi, right? Because he isn't the guy shooting everyone with a crosshair. He is the fucking workhorse of that team. If you don't know, he's like a fill. He'll do any role you tell him in the game. In past teams, he's done roles that weren't even his main role. Like this is the guy who he'll entry a bit for you. He'll be supportive. He'll play the shit role for you. Just does anything you want for it. So to me, when you have all those skilled players, because you have three really skilled players in my opinion, you need pieces like that sacrifice. You need someone like that who's on the same page as the IGL and the coach and just does what you need to round out the game or to make up for factors. So I think actually they'll obviously be well. Yeah, I think it just sucks. And also it sucks because if people don't know, Blast World Finals is like $500,000 first place. Like, as you say, if they win that one, you'd be mega hyped for the major. Like, maybe fucking Vitality's going to win it. And then finally, at the end, they're going to nick play Team of the Year. Holy shit. Like, that would be plausible. But also, by the way, even though I understand a lot of them have been like people's family members died, that's actually happened a few times. Holy fuck, Blast can't catch a break with the World Finals. We already call it a banana cup. Teams just keep going without their real lineup, for fuck's sake, guys. Like, it's a giant prize money tournament, but for some reason, it just never has all the best teams in good form. Have you noticed?
That's another thing about it. Like, I mean, obviously, again, disclaimer, I do get hired by Blast for different things, but like it's just like This felt like a weird year where it was like, okay, this is shaping up incredibly well. We're getting Na'Vi, Spirit, Vitality, all in very strong form. Again, like I'm talking about how competitive the top six is, and you got all those teams here. And then suddenly the team that might even be the favorite based off of how Rio breaks down is gonna now have to play with a stand-in, and it's like, come on. Like I was also like, you want to see Spirit have to be tested against this. Like, imagine Spirit wins in the semifinals versus this Vitality. You're just gonna be like, did they really win this event? Did this one really matter? Are they as good? Like, I hate leaving loose ends on these kinds of questions. I'd rather just I mean, in an ideal world, every team plays with 100% every single tournament, no matter what, and then you get to see their true form. But that's not the case with Vitality at this one.
Right, the last point of the show will be my ugly point, and I've saved it till now. I was waiting, praying on their downfall. Not really, actually, like some of the players, but I knew it was coming. It's just one of the teams I've picked against. I'm not one of the people who thinks that like Liquid's going to win all big tournaments and shit. Like the ugly point is, Team Liquid cannot get over the hump. Right, remember, guys, they won against Na'Vi in that Blast Groups. Awesome. Blast Groups isn't a tournament. After that, you have to go wait until the real Blast one. That's like the least pressure ones. Every other time they played Na'Vi, they could have won, by the way. In all these series, every single time they can win, but they just don't. They just don't. Then they play against FaZe. You know how many times they've been in the series against FaZe? They don't win the series. The problem they have is this. Aside from when they beat Spirit, I guess, at Blast, who's got their own issues. If they play the top teams, the teams you actually have to play to either get into a playoffs or to go deep in a play, they can't beat them. I don't know what it is, because look, actually, before these last few tournaments, Ultimate was popping off. That was looking good. Everyone else looked like they were kind of fitting their roles. Things are coming together. The map pool's even pretty good. By the way, if people haven't noticed, it might not last a long time. Right now, they are absolutely one of the best teams in the world on Anubis. They are really fucking good on that map. Then they have a bunch of the Fragger maps they can play. They've got clutch players in the team. Look, IGL angle, I guess you can say that's an issue, right? Let's see long term. Twist is clearly a very good player. Is he a good IGL? I don't know yet. I'd have to see some more. At the moment, they have a lot of skilled players. I hate, like I said about the mouse thing, I hate the whole, like, we're almost, it has to happen eventually. You have to actually get over the line and win the game eventually. By the way, if almost counts and losing 11-13 counts, I've got some bad news for you guys. Falcons was actually low-key a pretty good team. Do you know how many fucking times they were 11-13 in three maps against team? But they never fucking won. So the point is, I love the hype, the potential. It's a bit like Ultimate himself. He had those pop-offs early on. Now he's had some bad times. Eventually, you have to actually do it, though. Like, remember, we were talking in the first points about how, like, it's not the hardest top X in the world. Bro, this is exactly when you could nick a tournament. You could sneak through and grab one of these motherfuckers if, like, so Ultimate pops off and then you have a twist performance and AF's really close. Like, the players that... So, I think right now is a really worrying sign, because I always think as well, the honeymoon doesn't last forever. Like after a certain point in time, like you're just not, it's like, think about, didn't we all do this with Team Liquid guys? No, Astralis, sorry. When Astralis made that switch to Device IGL in, they kept making playoffs in all the first runs and everyone's like, hey, you know what? Maybe there's something. And then they never went further. That was the ceiling. And if anything, it just went down after that. So what I'm concerned about is like, where's the wins? Where's the wins I'm supposed to really care about? Where's the playoff wins, by the way? Where are the playoff wins? So thoughts, guys?
I mean, I'm pretty close with like some of the Liquid players. Like NAF is like someone I've known for a long time, so I'll try to be as least biased as possible. But when I do watch them, I am kind of upset with their map pool. I feel like it's not very great right now. Like they have the two maps, like Anubis and Ancient, which teams might end up banning one of them in the veto because they have to ban Vertigo every time. They just never play it. So off the rip, they probably lose a map that they're favored on. So they probably get like one good map they get to play, which they even lost in Rio, by the way, which I think it was Ancient versus Na'Vi or something. And then they simply cannot win on Dust 2. They are probably the worst team I've seen on Dust 2 in a long time. I think they have, what, like a 5-loss streak, 4-loss streak on that map, if you can correct me. I just don't think they have the map pool right now to win. They're not good on the staple maps, like the Mirages, the Infernos, the Dust 2s. Like those maps, they have not
Oh,
shown to be very
that's
consistent
literally
on.
it. Look, even though these are big names, they lost in a row to Vitality, Spirit, Na'Vi, and FaZe on Dust 2. But as you said, they're the teams you need to beat, and you're just going to lose that automatically. And by the way, they're not even getting 10 rounds. They're getting clapped.
Yeah. So like if you can't win on like the staple maps, like you're not even being competitive on them, then that's like a big like worrying sign. Like that's why they're not winning playoffs. Like the only time they're winning those maps are probably versus like some shit teams or like versus like Complexity or like fucking like Ents or some shit. Like that's probably the only times they're winning like these maps. But when they get to the good teams with actual structure, they're probably just struggling a lot. Like the other teams just know how to punish. They have better setups, they know how to take map control better. Like they're not getting free fights. Like these other teams are giving them free ass fights, and since they're good players, they can capitalize like pretty well, you know? Like they can like they shoot, they know how to shoot, they have star players. But the moment like they're playing against people with the same amount of skill power, like the same firepower, like they're gonna struggle. Like FaZe has the same amount of skill, maybe even more than them right now, you know? But they have the better caller. They have the better, like everything they have structure-wise is just better. And they're also losing their honeymoon phase. I think what's with 2 months in that lineup. That shit's gone. Like they're not gonna have that anymore. Like they're like Ultimate's not gonna be surprising people anymore. They're like whatever X factors they had because they were a new roster are now just gone. You know, they've lost all their like their triumph cards. Like there's nothing left for them. Now they just have to be a good team. They have to have better structure. And I don't know if they have the capabilities of doing that right now.
I would just simplify it. I mean, I think that I mean, I've been decently close with Yekindar also, but like this guy's just like he's just the worst entry fragger right now in Tier 1, like outright. He's just the worst. He's like every single tournament, he's like either the worst rated player of the entire tournament, or he's like. And when you look at how bad some of their T sides have been, I don't even necessarily think that always the starters are that bad. Like the way that they want to open up the round with like the nades they're throwing or anything like that. It's that Yekindar's opening dual win rate, for example, at Rio was like 30% on T side, and he's taking over 40% of their openers. That's not just because like they're throwing
Those are
shit nades
Russell
for him.
Westbrook numbers, usage and 3-point percentage. Whatever. It's
Exactly.
pretty good,
Yeah, no,
actually. It's a pretty good analogy.
it's just terrible now. It's gotten to a point where it's like I thought. I mean, dude, I kind of hinted at this, and people laughed it off. Like, oh, he's still not that good. Yekindar was trending in the right direction when SnapTap was actually available, and now that it's
Having
gone
nerfed
again,
him,
he's
okay.
just horrible again. I'm not even kidding. It's just like that actually saved him in a weird way for a brief period of
He
time,
could have had
and
a
now that it's
sponsorship.
gone.
It could have been like Popeye with his spinach. He puts on SnapTap and all of a sudden, now he can go in. Now he's shit without it. Now he's like fucking in the UFC when they actually like banned like the TRT steroids. Magically, some people just got like half as good. Like, oh, that's weird. He's just not, doesn't have that knockout power anymore.
Like I haven't done an in-depth analysis on their team because I just haven't had the time to do it, but
And why the fuck would you?
like
It's Team
sure.
Liquid, but yeah.
Yeah, true. Like I'm not getting paid by them anyways, but like
Exactly,
whatever.
yeah, I know.
Yeah,
Just watch the good
like
teams
let's say
grow.
yeah, like if you were to look at it, surely like something is wrong with their structure. Like they're still a newish team. Like surely, like if he's taking that many duels, like is his team doing the best job of helping him get there? Like I don't know. Like I'm not sure about that.
By the way, think about how bad this is. Twists is a new IGL, and I think within context, frags fairly well for an IGL. But the problem is, if you're a new IGL, especially if you play a more forward rifle role, bro, you're trying to simultaneously fix your Kindar and tell him like when not to like overgo for kill and work ultimate into the lineup, and you never even used to use AWPs in Liquid. Like, buddy, how hard do you want to make this? Like, bro, I want it to be as easy as possible if I'm becoming an IGL. Like, this is really, I think that the assignment's too tough. It's too diff.
Yeah, this probably just too it's too overwhelming of a project. Like he probably needs either just like there has to be more staff or they're more like experience on the team, or maybe Naf has to be more vocal about like stuff that they need, or maybe they should just like op a little less, like maybe go to a structure that Twist is more comfortable with. Like they need to figure something out because maybe they just don't have a good identity as a team, and like he is also getting team flashed as fuck, or he's like they're getting TK'd. Like I saw like some really weird plays by like JKS, like just killing fucking Yekindar like off the rip sometimes, stuff like that, which is definitely by accident, but like that just shows like they're a little bit like fumbling on their like trade route. Like their entry routes are probably not that great, their entry support's probably not that great. Like that's probably like a bit of the game they either just didn't look into enough, or like they just haven't like even bothered to
Yes.
touch.
By the way, I also just love the actual. This is why, if I was on the desk, I'd kill this narrative. The narrative is fucking genius. It's like something out of a kung fu movie because you have the whole thing where, like, Kerrigan is like, "Twist, you were my prized student, but I am still the master." It catches like his fist midair, bro. Yeah, you know what? Twist learned how to IGL from Kerrigan, but the master is still playing, bro. He gets you every single time, every single time. Every single time, bro. It's too good. It's beautiful. It's like an anime fucking narrative, innit? It's brilliant.